Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, I'm Melissa with Midnight Hour Oil. I wanted to come out today and share with you some things that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, have been imparting to my spirit over this past week. And these are encouragements, things that I believe are going to encourage you and remind you of the protection that our Heavenly Father provides to His own. And a part of this is a warning, but mainly it is an encouragement, and there's several parts to this, so please bear with me as I try to work through it. But I also want everyone to know who is in the path of this hurricane that's getting ready to hit Florida. I am praying, intervening, interceding, but I just hope and pray everybody is taking precautions and getting to safe places. This all started on Monday. My husband and I were out taking a walk on, it's called Rails for Trails, and we try to go on different trails. And this was one we had been on years ago, but we hadn't been on it in a long time. So we were walking on this trail, and as we were walking, I see a shadow of something that flew overhead. And I said, what did that shadow come from? And I stopped, and I looked up, and I see this huge bird circle around and come back. And when it gets closer, I can see it's a bald eagle. And I'm telling Alan, oh, look, Alan, it's a bald eagle. And I watched it as it flew back over us and then went into a tree nearby. And as we were continuing our walk, I just felt the Holy Spirit impressing on me this message that we are under the shadow of His wings. And not only are we under His protective covering, under the shadow of the Father's wings, but an eagle is symbolic of the prophetic. So I understood that the message included that God is using the prophetic dreams, visions, prophetic words to protect and to cover us. I was really encouraged by that. I knew it was a gift, and I knew that there was a message from the Lord in that. But then that night, when I went to sleep, He also gave me a dream, and this dream...
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Turned your captivity, and now you're the day, and now is the time, and this is the place, and I'll no longer look back, and I'll no longer wonder when, but I'll declare now is the time, and the Spirit of God shall work in my house, and in my family, and in my children, and in my address, not someplace else, but in my house, and the Spirit of God shall rest upon me.
Thank you. Yeshua, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He's coming for his bride that have made herself ready. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. That's the announcement that we need to make. Praise your Lord. Amen. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you, Brother Strada. Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty Lord, mighty Yeshua. We thank the Lord for the opportunity he allows us to share his word, his revelation before the return of Jesus. He's about to return for his bride. My brothers, as he promised to his disciple as they were standing, looking out for his coming. Hallelujah. And the angel told them that in the same manner he went, they will see him coming again. The Lord Jesus is about to come. That's the second coming. The Bible says all eyes will see him. My brother and sisters, they will lament, they will cry. Now, the bride of Christ, hallelujah, will receive a special, hallelujah, rapture, departure like Elisha, like Enoch. It was not expected, but in the times of the Adam and Eve generation, to have someone walk with God and disappear, that was not a custom. It was not in their understanding. It was not something that they saw happening. But in that first 1,000-year generations, which some say 7,000-year generations, they experienced a rapture, my brother and sister. Then after Noah and his family came to the land again, after the flood, the ark settled, and humanity began to multiply again. And they began like another 7,000-year period again. And then, my brother and sister, Elijah was taken to heaven like Enoch in a cart of fire. He walked with God, and he was taken by God in a cart of fire. Enoch did not saw death, neither Elijah, my brother and sister. Now, in another 7,000 year, it is promised to the bride of Christ, many now, hallelujah, that they will not taste death, they will be alive, remaining until the coming of the Lord. Another departure. It seems like three departure. With this departure of the bride of Christ, this rapture, like Enoch and Elisha, my brother and sister, the bride of Christ is going to be changed, and it's going to be transformed, and it's going to disappear like Enoch and Elisha. Three times God does this. Well, the Son of Man was on the belly of the earth for 3 days. The Bible says it for 3 nights. Is that significant to that? Yes, because the Apostle Paul says that we are buried unto what Jesus did on the cross. We're buried with him. So Jesus was lifted up by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And no, we're fine over here. Thank you. Jesus was lifted up by the power of the Holy Spirit, my brother and sister, on the third day. They could not find his body anymore. It was made glorified. My brother and sister, he could go through a wall. He could eat. He ate with his disciples for 40 days. And for 49, Jesus gave him witness of the power of the resurrection of God, of the power of the Holy Spirit. Before he left, he says that he would not leave his disciple fatherless, that he would ask the Father for another counselor, that he will be with them forever, he said. My brother and sister, but the Holy Spirit has been with the church now since Jesus left. And again, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, it is the same promise of power that is going to rise the church home very soon. My brother and sister, the church is going to experience a rapture departure like Jesus, like Enoch and Elisha from the earth in a similar way, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. The Apostle Paul says that she shall be changed, shall be transformed in a blink of an eye, and a closing and opening of an eye. What an awesome promise God has given us. Thank you, Lord. But this is not the message. This is just a reminder for you and I to keep your eyes looking at Jesus. No matter what you see happening, keep your eyes looking unto Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How many of you have been asking God to heal you? How many of you have been praying for healing, have been praying for miracle of God, have been praying for God to do something in your life, in your family life? Thank you, Lord. We're going to learn by what other people went through with the Lord, that the Lord is faithful, and that God will always provide to his people in the times of need. Number 21. I want you to go with me to number 21, chapter 21 of the book of Numbers. And verse 4, hallelujah, is where we're going to be sharing tonight, my brother and sister. And if you sink your heart to this word, deepen it, hallelujah, you open your heart to receive from the word of God, it will bless you. It will bless your understanding. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Shalom, Brother Miguel. Shalom, each and one of you. Janina, Brother Michael, each and one of you. Shalom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Number 21, verse 4 says, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to go there with me. Praise you, God. We're going to start on verse 6. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible. Verse 6 and number 22. Hallelujah. Number 21. The bronze serpent. The bronze serpent. The Lord sent fiery, burning serpent among the people. Listen. Hallelujah. Because when someone tells you that it was the devil, my brother and sister, you're going to have to study your words, your Bible. Because a lot of people get attacked or go through attack and much more. And the Bible teaches us, why do we go through these things? Father God, as a father, discipline us, my brother and sister. The Bible says for people not to, the Apostle Paul says not to get tired of the discipline of the Lord. As a father who loves his child, he disciplines us. We are under our father guidance, leading home, family. He'll discipline us. And many people are getting tired of his discipline. Don't get tired. The Bible says not to, my brother and sister. The Lord sends fiery, burning serpent among the people. Hallelujah. These serpents, I never seen a serpent on fire. Okay? These serpents are more spiritual than physical, my brother and sister. We know that the fallen for the devil is a fallen angel. He doesn't have a physical body. He might be able to take a form, my brother and sister. But in the spiritual realm, he attacks people because people don't usually see them unless the Lord opens their eyes, my brother and sister. So the Lord sends fiery burning just by them coming on them burning on fire. Tells you that these are not your local snakes, serpent. We have daily serpent on the earth right now, my brother and sister. You put them on fire, they die. So these are not your normal serpent, because these are for God to either get them to get straight with God, get right with God, repent and get right with God, or die off, my brother and sister. And that's what basically has been happening, hallelujah, on the earth. You either get right with God or people will die off. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Listen, the Lord sent a fiery burning serpent among the people, and they bit the people, and many Israelites die. Oh, God won't do this to you. You know, God loves you. Why will God do such a thing to you? Read your Bible, my brother and sister, because God will work in our life to get us right with Christ, through Christ, with him. People don't do so, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. It will not go well with them. Hallelujah. In John 15, Jesus says, my brother and sister, I am the true vine, and my Father is a wine presser, a dresser. Every branch in me does not bear fruit, he takes it away. Hallelujah. He removes them, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. That every brand which is part of me but failed to bear fruit, he cut it off. I needed to look it up just to confirm it. He cut off the branch if they don't bear fruit. He is definitely a loving God. He is God of love. But we must pay attention to him and his words, my brother and sister. Because as a branch in the family of God that we are, my brother and sister, if we stop bearing fruit, people will be cut off, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And they can be loving, sounding people, my brother and sister. But listen to the example that is given to us in number 21:6. About the Jewish people, the children of Israel that were promised, hallelujah, the promised land. They were heading to the promised land. And before they got to the Red Sea, they began to do something that many people are doing today, and they think it's okay. They think it's fine. Okay? They think it's okay. And I'm going to show you what it is in the Word. That many think it's okay. They do it constantly. They do it every day. And they think it's all right. And it's not with God. It's not with Father, my brother and sister. It's not with him.
So the Lord sent fiery burning serpent among the people. And they bit the people. And many Israelites died. So the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Hallelujah. For we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Hallelujah. Pray to the Lord. Prayer. Repenting. My brother and sister, it's always the answer. Repenting is always the answer. Let's go back to verse 4. So they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea and called the God of God to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient. Oh, my Lord. The people became impatient. Be careful becoming impatient in the Lord. My brother and sister, the people became impatient because of the challenge of the journey. So the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, nor there any water. We love this miserable food. They were complaining of what they had that God has given them. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Their temper, says the Messianic Bible, was short. They easily got angry and began to murmur, my brother and sister, and complain. Be careful with murmuring and complaining. Murmuring and complaining will always get us in trouble. Murmuring and complaining is a sign that you are not trusting the Lord, that your eyes are not in him anymore. Hallelujah. That you're not trusting on his promise. That you are doubting that God is able and capable to do what he said he will do. My brother and sister, we need to be careful with murmuring and complaining before the Lord our God. The people, temper, grew short because of the tour. Hallelujah. Detour. A lot of people, when they come out of the work from work, they say detour. They see a detour. The police are sending them another way. My brothers, they get angry. Be careful for easily getting angry. And God won't allow detour in our lives, my brothers and sisters, to test us whether we are trusting in him, whether our trust is in him, my brother and sister. And those people spoke against God. In the moment you find yourself talking against God, you're murmuring. You're complaining. When you're talking about God's leaders, God's prophet, God's servants, you're murmuring. You are complaining. You are sinning. You sin when you talk about God. You sin when you talk about his servants, my brother and sister. And the children of Israel were accustomed. Four places in the Bible I found of them complaining about God and Moses, my brother and sister. They got accustomed to complain. They got accustomed to murmur. They got accustomed to being negative about what God has promised, what God has said he will accomplish, he will bring to pass, he will fulfill, my brother and sister. But they kept murmuring and complaining, and God, hallelujah, sent his serpent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord, the Bible says in the Messianic Bible, that in response, Adonai sent poisonous snake among the people. They bit the people, and many of Israel people died. And the people came to Moses and said, we sin, speaking against Adonai and against you. Here's what God wants us to do every day. Repent. Repent for speaking evil, for sinning as we speak. Because when we speak false, we speak evil like demons. Demons in hell, they curse all the time. They're falling false. And that's what comes out of their mouth. But imagine a Christian, those same words that comes out of a demon coming out of their mouth, they're evil words. They should not be coming out of people of God. My brother insisted. These people were behaving like demons in the wilderness. My brother and sister, just like demons in hell that are serving the devil, this is the way they speak. They speak against anyone. They don't care. They have no fear, God, to speak against anyone. That's why you read in Revelation 13 how the Antichrist blaspheme against God, blaspheme against the church. They don't care who they speak evil of, because that's what they are. They are falling. They are being judged. That's why the false prophet and the Antichrist as the first shoe, the first shoe going into the lake of fire of lies, a lake that burned with fire and brimstone, my brother and sister, forever and ever. The word of God says, hallelujah. They don't care who they speak of, but there is a record for every false word that has been spoken, Jesus said, my brother and sister. There is a record in heaven. They're being recorded. What they are saying, what they are speaking. So in response, Adonai sent poisonous snake among the people and bit the people, and many of Israel of the people died. Oh, that cannot be from God. Some people's opinion would be, Brother Elby, this cannot be for God. God will not do this to his people. We need to fear the Lord and humble ourselves before him. My brother, my sister. Many people came to Moses. These are the people that now were repenting. We have sinned. This is a sign. When you recognize that you are sinning in the way you are speaking, in the way you are behaving, in the way you are walking, this is the first sign. This is how God wants us to live and walk before him. We have sinned and speaking against Moses and against you. Pray to Adonai that he rid off these snakes. And Moshe pray. Hallelujah, for the people. And Adonai answered Moshe, make a poisonous snake, and put it on a pole. When everyone who has been bitten see it, hallelujah, he will live. Notice the instruction of the Lord, my brother and sister, because they come with much wisdom for our lives. They first got to beat the people that has been bitten by the snake. They have to come and repent. Look at the post and be healed. But they first needed to be bitten by the snake, my brother and sister. In other words, they first has fallen in disobedience. They have fallen in sin first, my brother and sister. And those that have been bitten, those are the one God is, why is God separating them from the other people? Because those are the ones that have fallen in sin. You don't compare every Christian with every Christian. Because some will murmur and some will keep quiet, my brother and sister. Some will complain and some will worship God. Some will become prideful and some will humble themselves before the Lord. You don't see Joshua complaining. You don't see Caleb. You don't see Moses complaining. You see a bunch of other people. But you don't see these holy people of God that are committed their lives to the Lord complaining or murmuring, my brothers and sisters, about the rest of the people. Word, hallelujah, but not everyone is treated the same. So the Lord being specific to Moses that has been bitten by the snake, they can come and look at the bronze snake and be healed, my brother and sister. Those are the ones that the doctor, Jesus said that he was sent to the one that was lost. He was sent to the one who was sick. When they call him doctored, he said yes, because he came to those that were sick. It's specifically, God comes for those that are sick and repenting and are willing to receive his help, my brother and sister. When Jesus began his ministry, he began to tell people, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is amongst you, he said. My brother insisted. It was right next to them. It was in Jesus. He is our help. Hallelujah. For the Lord is our helper, the word of God says. He was right there to heal them. He was right there to restore them. But they needed to do one thing, and that thing was to humble themselves and repent. Repenting is what God was calling them to do. Because when you repent, when you humble yourself, you make yourself available to be healed by God and to be restored by God. That's why Jesus said that those that humble themselves, my brother insisted, Those are the ones that get the greater position. Those are the ones that will be raised. Those are the ones that will be blessed. My brother and sister, blessed are the meek, he says, my brother and sister, because you're making yourself available for God to heal you, forgive you, restore you, my brother and sister. So that's why God says those have been bitten by the snake. Those are the ones that need to come and see the bronze snake. Those are the ones that need repenting. Those are the ones that need restoration, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. But notice something. Notice something. That there were many beaten by the snake that did not have time to repent. Repenting is a gift. Repenting is a blessing from God to our lives. Many people that God is calling to repenting have heard the word of repenting once or twice and then die without repenting because they did not act quickly. My brother and sister, that many people that have been beaten by the snake that have died in their sickness and have no time for repenting. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, because God spoke with them. They did not hear the voice of God. They hardened their heart. They did not humble themselves quickly when God called them. And immediately, my brother and sister, they die without repenting. They got lost. They got lost. Brother Obi, how can that be? There says many of the children of Israel died. Oh, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. They didn't get to come to the bronze snake and repent. They didn't get to do that. It was not enough time to do that. Because when this happened, when you find yourself in sin, when you find yourself in disobedience, you need to understand something. You need to repent quickly. You cannot put it off for another day. You cannot put it up for another hour because death can come, hallelujah, quickly and take you out, my brother and sister. Notice how the serpent bit these other people. And they didn't have time to repent and they die off quickly. They were cut off, my brother and sister, as the branch that bear no fruit, Jesus says. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Every branch was part of me, but fail to bear fruit. He cut off. Hallelujah. Notice. He cut off, God cut them off. God cut off these multitude of the children of Israel that did not repent when they were bitten by the serpent. My brother and sister, they had their time. They had their opportunity, but they didn't take it. And they were cut off, my brother and sister. It is so sad to speak this way, but it's the truth of the word of God. Adonai answered Moshe, make a poisonous snake, put it on the pole, and if everyone who have been bitten see it, he will live. Hallelujah. Notice how people say, he will be healed. Yes, we are healed by his stripes, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. The way Isaiah described what Jesus did, my brother and sister, on the cross, he made it available for every single human being. Or Father made available for every single human being, my brother and sister. Hallelujah, for he, the servant of God, grew up before him like a tender had a shoot plant, like a root out of the ground. He had no stately form, a majestic splendor that we could look at him, no handsome appearance that we will be attracted to, that he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow, of pain and acquainted with grief, like one from the men hidden, hallelujah, whom he men hidden their face. He was despised, and we did not appreciate his worth esteem him. But in fact, says Isaiah, he had borne our grief. He had carried our sorrow and in pain. Yet we ignorantly assumed that he was stricken, struck down by God, degraded and humiliated. He was wounded for our transgression. He was crushed for our wickedness, our sin, our justice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required that our well-being fell on him. And by his stripes, wound, we are healed, says the prophet. My brother and sister, all this disobedience and sin, when people come to God, to Christ and repentance, It comes on Jesus. And it already came at Jesus over 2,000 years ago. Now God gives humanity the same opportunity he gave the children of Israel in the wilderness. Because these firing serpents, my brother and sister, are demons. These demons were loose, my brother and sister, to attack them. And the 3 days of darkness, a similar experience humanity are going to live. There will be demon loosing on the earth for 3 days, my brother and sister, that they're going to go like the serpent. Whoever they bit, whoever they attack, they are going to kill. But those that are repenting and are seeking God and dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty, those are protected. Those they cannot harm, my brother and sister. The earth is going to be cleansed by these, hallelujah, demons. As they cleanse the children of Israel in the wilderness, my brother and sister, hallelujah, when they begin to murmur and complain, the door of evil will open among them, and the fiery serpent began to appear in all their ways. They cannot go to the right, serpent were there. They could not go to the left, serpent were there. They could not move forward, serpent were there. They could not move back, serpent were there. The serpent was so severe. These were not like your local serpent, like your local snake. These were fire in one. These were demonic. They have power to sting you and kill you, my brother and sister. We have many serpents even here in North Carolina that are not deadly, that can bit you and not kill you. And there are serpents around the world that can kill you, my brother and sister. But some usually, when they bit you like the cobra, you still have some time to be taken to the doctor. These serpents that bit the children of Israel were totally different. When they bit you, you, my brother and sister, had short time to repent, run to Moses to see the bronze snake, my brother and sister, which is Jesus Christ. It was a representation of Jesus Christ, my brother and sister. You need to run to Jesus to escape the bit of the serpent, my brother and sister. Humanity is about to experience the supernatural test again of demon bitten, my brother and sister. They're about to experience this again. They're about to experience in the 3 days of darkness. The day of the Lord come, the prophet said, but it will come with darkness, my brother and sister. This darkness snake that he sent among the children of Israel to remove the disobedient, to remove the wicked, to remove the fake, to remove those that were pretending to be of God but were not. These snakes know who they are. They are spiritual beings. They are spiritual demons. They can see straight into the person. And they can see that even if the person is pretending to be a god, they've been sent by God to bit the fake. And they go straight to the fake. And they'll bit them. Hallelujah. If that person doesn't repent, it dies right away. It dies. And the days of darkness is the same. And the Lord has said to me, surely it will begin. The darkness will begin soon as after the judgment. The 3 days of darkness will begin. And these demons are going to be loosened again. And they are going to bit people, my brother and sister. They're going to come against people. And hallelujah, if they have not been repenting, if they have not been seeking God, this is one of the reasons why so many died. They were not truly repenting. They were not committed to God. They were not truly serving the Lord, but serving themselves. Their signs of murmuring and complaining, that means they disrespected God, and they disrespected Moses. They didn't care for God's people or God's prophet. They didn't care what they would say, what they would talk about, how they would murmur against them, how they would criticize them and speak against their testimony. They did not care. These was fake believers. But when God sent these demon serpent among them and bit these fake believers, they die off. That's exactly what's about to happen on the earth soon. God is tired. The same thing God saw in the wilderness among the children of Israel. A bunch of millions of people that were fake, that were not of God, my brothers and sisters. And God always has the answer for every single problem. We see a problem. And we say we must not judge anyone, my brother and sister. Amen. Hallelujah. But God has the solution because the Lord says, bending in mind, saith the Lord, He knows how to remove the fake from among his people. He knows how to remove those that say that they are, but they're not. And when he releases these demons, and they go straight to the fake and bits them, notice how they easily die off and don't repent. Hallelujah. God was very specific to Moses that those that were bitten and will come to him to show the bronze serpent, they're being bitten and being able to come. Hallelujah. Jesus said about this, that if you are bitten by serpent and scorpion, they will not harm you. They will not harm you, Jesus said. A deadly poisonous snake, if you're truly of God, if you're truly a Christian that are repenting and seeking God, Jesus said that they will bit you, but they will cause you no harm. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let me look it up. Praise you, mighty Lord. Praise you, mighty Yeshua. My brother and sister, we're living in the last days. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. They shall take up serpent, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hand on the sick, and they shall recover. Notice how he put in their serpent, because this is what killed the children of Israel in the wilderness. The serpent was the one that kills them. He put it in there to show that those that are his, there's no way that the poison of a serpent can harm them. The bidding of a serpent can harm one of his. It will kill the fake. It will kill that that is making believe that he is, but he's not. It will kill that other person, like many fell in the wilderness, my brother and sister. But the true disciple, the true men and women that have been calling and chosen by the Lord, the elect, the serpent, it can take up the serpent. The serpent come and bit you, and you take it off your arm or your leg. What do you think you're doing? And you throw it away. You throw the serpent away. And the other person, look, you're going to die. You're going to die. Look, it bit you. It bit you. Not so, not so. Hallelujah. I serve the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. By his stripe, by his wound, I'm healed. And you can lay hand on your leg, on your arm, and you can command that poison to go away. It will not harm you. I remember the day I was working in this oven, my brother and sister in this company up north. The oven temperature degree was over 1,000 Fahrenheit, my brother and sister. We had to close that oven through a computer controller with a heavy, heavy iron door, my brother and sister. And for some reason, the door did not want to close. I was falling asleep because I had not slept for days. And I pressed the button to run. And the door, the power of the heat opened the door with such a fury. I was in front of the oven. The fire went right in front of me. 1,000 Fahrenheit degree, my brother insisted. The fire was so real that almost every single hair in my body got burned, except me. Except me. When the supervisor came running, I smelled like burn, but I was not burned at all. I was not harmed at all. My brother insisted, God protect us. God is our protector. My brother insisted, hallelujah, you will take a serpent and when they will not hurt you. So why does so many fall into your left and to your right, but they will not come nigh thee, God says to David. Thousands will fall to your left. 10,000 to your right, but they will not come like thee. They will not hurt you, David. You will not be hurt. Praise you, Jesus. You will not be hurt at all. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. So many of the army of the enemy surrounded David with sword, hallelujah, with the arrow. They had him. They had him on the side. But somehow the arrow will not hit him. The sword will not harm him. My brother insisted, 1,000 to the left, 10,000 to the right, hallelujah, and they were not able to hurt David. What is going on with this man? They cannot understand why they could not kill David. My brother insisted, as he was taking care of his father's sheep, a bear will come and he will kill the bear. A lion will come to try to eat the sheep, and David will confront the lion, and he will kill the lion also, my brother insisted. David, hallelujah, had the Lord with him. He has the Lord, and he makes the same promise to God's people. Hallelujah. 1,000 to your left, 10,000 to your right, but they will not come nigh thee. They will not hurt you, because the Lord will keep you. The Lord will protect you. Thank you, Lord. The people that the serpent were killing was the fake, my brother and sister, was the pretender, were those that say that they were, but they were not. And because we are not called to judge anyone, but God said, vengeance is mine. God soon, in days to come, my brother and sister, is going to remove them from among the nation, from among the earth. Where after the 3 days of darkness, you will look for people that you think that you knew. And they will be gone, my brother, my sister. They will not be found anywhere. People will look for them and say, where's my neighbor? Where is this person? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, you will not find them. You will not find them, because in the wilderness the same thing happened. When the brothers and sisters were looking for the other brothers, the other pretender, they did not find them. The snake had killed them. They've been killed by the snake. They were no more, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. And 3 days of darkness is coming. 3 days of darkness is coming, my brothers and sisters. The beasts are going to be released, and they know who they are going to get. I remember when the Lord showed me the 3 days of darkness. I showed you that was in this building in school. Hallelujah. And my wife called me and said, do you know what's going on? It's the 3 days of darkness that's going on. It's pitch black anyway. I said, what? I haven't even noticed when I look out the window. Yes, it was. Hallelujah. I went and began to walk to my house. And I could see the beast attacking people, biting people, killing people. But I kept walking, my brother and sister. I was not afraid of the beast. Hallelujah. And I raised my right hand to the beast. And I noticed how afraid the beast was with them, with him that was in me. Because greater he that is in me than he that is in the world. My brother and sister, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We need to trust the Lord. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Serve him truly. Repent truly. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is among you. Praise the Lord. He's calling us to repenting, my brother and sister. No time, and no time. So Adonai answered Moshe. He made a poisonous snake and put it on a pole. And when everyone who has been bitten, hallelujah, see it, he will live. Praise the Lord. So you had a group of people that were being bitten by disobedience. But in the moment they make, hallelujah, repentance before the Lord, came to Moses, look at the serpent on the pole. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. They were being forgiven. They live. They live. Notice it doesn't say they were healed. No, they live. They live. This is life and death. A lot of people have not noticed that this is life and death. What is most important to you than being healed or being saved? Salvation is more important. God wants us to be focused on him. For us to be saved, for us to live, it's more important to live now, my brother and sister. This is the time that God is calling us to live, live, live. So Moses made a bronze snake, put it on a pole, and if a snake had bitten someone, who is a someone? What is the someone doing that the snake is bitten that person? Hallelujah. Have the person fallen in sin? It's the person in disobedience, person murmuring. It's the person complaining. So God knows not everyone will murmur. Not everyone will complain. But those that would, they need to repent. My brother insisted. They need to repent. Then he looked toward the bronze snake and he stayed alive. My brother insisted. Hallelujah. They were going through the worst. Hallelujah. But God was with those that were humble themselves before him. Those that stay committed to God, God was with them, my brother and my sister, because he is a faithful God. Not every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. God is working on the church now to bear more fruit. Thank you, Lord. The Lord said, yes. God is working on the church to bear more fruit right now, my brother and sister, because he knows we need to bear more fruit in him. Hallelujah. When you bear more fruit, you're being cleansed. You're being cleansed. Hallelujah. Notice that you're becoming more loving, more caring for people. You're praying for more for people. You're interceding for people. You're there for them more. Notice that you're not talking so much about you. And pride is all about you. And humility is about helping other people. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. So right now, because of the word which I have spoken to you. You are pruned. Notice the other thing that God uses to prune us is the word. When you spend time in the word, God prunes you through the word. And he begins his cleansing, purification in your life through the word. As you read the word, notice how some word comes like a two-edged sword inside of you. And it's going and cutting. And you feel the cutting and you're repenting. But then when the word comes out, it also comes out cutting. You say, how this is possible? That's the word of God. It's a two-edged sword. My brother and sister, it goes into your life, cutting, cleansing. Anything that you thought it was okay, the word of God, which is pure and holy, lets you know it's not okay. You need to repent that. My brother and sister, I noticed something. That every time you're talking about your past, and when you're talking about your past, and you're talking about something darkness or darken about your past, something that you know you did that it was not of God, and it comes to your mind, God is letting you know you need to repent, my son. You need to repent, my daughter, when it comes to your mind. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Some people say, why is the devil reminding me of my past? It's not always the devil, as we begin to say tonight. My brother and sister, yes, the devil likes to remind people of their past. But let me tell you, when the devil likes to come, and your moment of weakness, like when Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 49, the devil came. And your worst moment of winning, that's when the devil likes to come. My brother and sister, in the moment of temptation, sometimes the Lord is reminding you of something in your past that you need to repent of, because the devil is still using that against you. My brother and sister, he's still accusing you by it. So the Lord brings it to your mind and says, remember when you were so-and-so and you did this? Without Mary, you were being with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, and you did this and that with that other guy or that other woman. And it keeps coming to your mind, why didn't you think why? The day you took some grape, you stole some grape, you stole some candy, and that keeps coming to your mind, repent. Repent. Every time you went to the supermarket and you took some grape, I'm sorry, Lord, for taking some grape without paying for them first. I'm sorry, Lord, for taking some candy, Lord, for without paying for them first. And every time you repent these things, you are being healed. You are being restored. You are being cleansed. A more presence of God is being put into your life. You will feel more presence of God. I had a brother who shared this with me. Brother Elby, begin to repent everything you did in your past that you know was not of God. And I spent hours and days repenting things of my past. My brother and sister. And repenting them. And every time I spend repenting them, I will be healed. I will be restored. Because there were things you did in the past that caused great pain to you. Or things that happened to you in your past that caused great pain inside of you. Emotionally. Psychologically. And even physically. Because your body reacted to the pain of your soul. Your mind reacts to the pain of your soul or your body. My brother and sister, when a problem becomes psychologically confusing or emotional, it's because all three things in you are being affected by the pain that caused to you. And when you begin to repent that, and you are being healed inside of you, and you are being restored inside of you, and you are being cleansed, this is the part that people miss, being cleansed. Why do you think more presence of God keep coming into your life after you do this? And I began to do this, and I began to feel more presence of God. I was being filled with more presence of God in my life. It began for a little present, and as I kept repenting, I was being healed and I was being restored. My brother insisted, and more presence of God was coming into my life, and more, and more, and more, and more. And more, and I kept confessing, and I kept repenting, and I kept going back, Lord, I'm sorry for hurting this person. I'm sorry for what I did here, Lord, that I should have not done. And I kept repenting those things. My brother and sister, I will be healed. I will be restored. Now when I will think about my past, the thing that happened, I will have peace. Now I ask you, you want to know how a lot of your past you have not been healed from? Now in the present? When you think about the mistake you made in your past, did they give you a headache? Did they give you hurt? That means you have not been healed. Because now if you have been healed, when you think about those things, you know what? You have peace about it. You have total peace. Why? Because you've been healed. You've been restored by the Lord. Hallelujah. Who's the great restorer. My brother and my sister. Hallelujah. Now, when Isaiah talks about Jesus in Isaiah 61, my brother and sister, I want you to see a few things here. Thank you, Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord had anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the broken hearted. You notice how these people are so broken hearted. My brother and sister, they need healing. My brother and sister, what breaks your heart? Or what have broken your heart in your life? And many of us have received broken heart. Broken heart in our lives. My brother and sister. And a lot of people don't know that Jesus came to heal their heart. Their broken heart. They don't know that. They think that Jesus only came to preach. Yes, he came to preach. But notice what followed. My brother and sister. Notice what followed after he preached. Hallelujah. That he knows that there are many people that are hurt inside. Now, I'm going to read it from the complete Jewish Bible, and I want you to see the difference. How it is approached from direct from the Hebrew language. Look at it. To announce the good news to the poor. Amen. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. My brothers, you know that now you see that you need healing. Healing is the process after your heart has been broken, after you begin to repent. Yes, you receive the gospel. Yes, you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. What comes next? What comes next is healing in your life. Because each and one of us has been hurt, has been brokenhearted of things that we have gone through, even by people that we love and lost in our lives. Father or mother or uncle, grandmother, whoever it was, sister, brother, people that we love, that we lost, and there are people still crying for them. Their heart has been broken. A girlfriend has left them. A wife has left them. A husband, and they're brokenhearted. My brother and sister, they need healing. They need healing. We need healing. From this, my brother and sister, praise the Lord. The Lord wants to heal us. He wants to heal us. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Father says to Jesus, my son, I want you to come to the earth. Yes, and preach my gospel. But my son, I want you to heal all the brokenhearted. All the brokenhearted that I see from my throne on the earth. My son, come down and heal them. So when you sit there in prayer with the Lord, don't just repent your sin. Yes, do that. Do that every day. But if you know you've been brokenhearted by someone or something, this is the moment for you to say, Lord, when I was 13, I was dating this girl, Lord, that left me, Lord, for someone else. And I cried, Lord, so much. It hurt so much, Lord. Lord, heal my heart, Lord. Heal me, Lord. You know what happens when a person is not healed inside? Their broken heart has not been healed. That broken heart, the person will be very offending. The person will be very mean to other people. My brother and sister, will be careless what other people are feeling. Or other people that are friends or brothers and sisters that come close to them, they will hurt them easily because they have not been healed. And the broken heart, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Brother says his parents was taken away from him when he was 12. That is a true broken heart right there. When I was 7, my father was taken away from me. Man, that I cried so much for my father. As I repented before the Lord, when the Lord took me to heaven to see my father, gave my father such a hug, we gave each other such a hug in heaven. But when I began to confess to the Lord to heal my heart from my broken heart because of losing my father, that was difficult. I spent a lot of time repenting it, confessing it to the Lord. It took a while. Some broken heart takes a while to be healed. But the first step is to begin to confess that you want to be healed, that you want the Lord to heal you. Because when he heals you, he'll fill you more with his presence, with his spirit. Some of you are wondering, how come I don't have no more of the presence of God in my life? How come I don't have more of the Holy Spirit in my life? This is the key. I'm giving you what you've been asking God for it. God wanted me to give this word to you. My brother and sister, hallelujah, you want more of God. You want more of the Holy Spirit. He will fill you with his spirit as he promised. Hallelujah. So let me continue. He sends me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captive. Hallelujah. When someone is captive by the things, by change, by there are many people captive in their minds. The mindset are captivity, religion captivity. They were born in a religion family, religious family, and they practice this and that, and they feel so captive in their mind to serve the Lord. My brother insisted, idolatry comes to their mind all the time because of they being in a religion that they worship other idols. They still have so many captive believers in their mind. My brother and sister, because of religion, that's much captivity and they serve, my brother and sister. And they're Christian that their thinking is still captive because of the household they grew up, the religion that they learned, even though they have confessed the Lord. They feel so captive, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. You will be free by Jesus from their captivity. When you begin to repent of being an idol worshiper, Lord, heal me, Lord. Set me free, Lord, for being an idol worshiper, for growing up in a house, Lord, that, hallelujah, that worship other God, that worship statue, that worship St. Peter, St. John, St. Matthew, Mary Magdalene, and them, Lord. I repent of these idol worshiping, Jesus. Set me free, Lord. I grew up in a Catholic home, Lord. People that worship idol. People that pray to other idol. People that pray the Hail Mary every day, Lord. I'm so sorry. I repent for this idolatry, Jesus. Please forgive me, Lord. Set me free. Set me free. You came to set the captive free, Lord. Heal me. Heal me. Set me free, Lord. And when you begin to ask the Lord to set you free from this, when you begin to repent of that, Lord, I'm sorry for offending you, Lord. Your word says very clear, Lord, that no idolater will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, I repent for every type of idolatry in my life, in my family line, in their generational line, in their ancestor life. Hallelujah, from 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th generation back to Adam and Eve. I repent, oh Lord, please forgive me. Please restore my family line in Jesus' name. You begin to confess it. You begin to proclaim it over your life, over your family. The presence of God is going to fill your home. It's going to fill your life every day in a supernatural way. You will begin to experience freedom as a Christian that you never thought possible, that you never heard was possible. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You will experience God on a level that you never thought it was possible. When you begin to be healed from your broken heart, when you begin to be set free from your idolatry and your idolatry of thinking, believing, and walking in religious ways, my brother and sister, when the Lord began to set you free from all these stuff that are not of God, the presence of God is going to fill you, and you will be, oh, Brother Elvie, this is secure. I love this. Hallelujah. You need to confess it to the Lord. You need to ask the Lord. Listen to what Father would do. Hallelujah. When you come to the Lord and you need pruning, you need cleansing. Every branch that bear fruit, he prunes. He proved, he cleansed, he purified, he removed the thoughts that are not of him, the things that are not pleasing to him. He removed, he purged it out. He'll remove it out of our lives. You need to ask him to, the things that are not of him, to get them out of you. The garbage that is not of him, to get it out of you. Thank you, Lord. And when he began to do all this stuff, you are going to experience the God, the presence of God in way that you never heard it was possible. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. You experience the Lord in a special way. My brother and sister, to proclaim freedom to the captive, to let out into light those that bound in dark. Now, I also seen this by the revelation of Jesus. People in dark bound. My brother and sister, I talked about this years ago on the Lord Tower. I'm not sure many were ready to hear it. There are people bound in darkness. My brother and sister, they need to be set free to let out into the light those that are bound in darkness. My brother and sister, Isaiah 61, hallelujah. When the Lord was promised to come through the prophet Isaiah, this promise of Jesus coming to do this among the people, it was to his own people. It was to his own church. How can the church, you got so many people brokenhearted, and it is. How many people that need to be set free to proclaim captivity? It is. And how many people need to be let out into the light? Those that are bound in darkness. How can Christians be bound in darkness when they're claiming to be in the light? And it is. My brother and sister, praise the Lord. The Lord showed it to me this way. I shared before. He took me, he made me very small, and took me inside my body. There were places in my body. This is the temple of God, Paul says to the church of the Romans. We are the house of the Holy Spirit, my brother and sister. He took me inside my body. He made me very small. And took me in the living room of my body where the presence of God was there. But as I began to walk to the left, there were closets, just like a normal home, but it was inside my body. And that closet was a closet like a bonding closet where I put all the ugly stuff, the sinful stuff, hidden in there. And I was preventing the Lord from going in there. Because the Lord comes to the door and he knocks and we open the door. And that door, I was not opening to the Lord. I was saying to the Lord, just come into the living room, Lord. But into this closet, do not even come close, Lord. And the Lord began to show me the closet. And I went and opened the door to see what was in that door. And there were sinful things in that closet. The things that I knew was not pleasing to the Lord. That he wanted me to repent. My brother and sister, and asking to cleanse those parts of my life. My brother and sister, that was sinful to him. This is the way he began to show me. That we can have stuff in our lives that are not pleasing to the Lord. That the Lord wants to bring his light into it. There are still those bound in darkness. Darkness is still in those closets. Hallelujah. And there can be several closets in our house. The temple of the Holy Spirit. And that we can be preventing the Lord, the Holy Spirit, from going to those closets. Because we're not repenting those things. We think it's okay. There are sinful things in our life that we say it's okay. Until the Lord shows us, look, this is not pleasing to me. Oh, Lord, but wait a minute. My family did it. My mom did it. My father did it. No, it's not okay. No. They have this prayer to Mary. Really like in a car that they give to the Catholics to put it in the wallets, my brother and sister. I was in prayer with the Lord one time. I was invited to come and preach in this place. The place was full of people. They were waiting for me there. My brother and sister, this was a special service because we had several services before and many were healed and delivered. And they told it to many pastors and leaders in churches. And they prepared special service for me up north. My brother and sister. The church was so full. The place was not so big, but it was so full of people. That most of the people were standing because it was so full, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. I have been praying and fasting to bring a word from the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me a word from them. And the Lord was showing me that among them there was idolatry, idol worshiping, my brother and sister. These cards they had on the water, the Lord wanted them to take it out, my brother and sister. When I began to preach about these things, I brought the message of the Lord, and I began to preach about these things. Some people were looking at me like they didn't have it. And I said, take from your wallet the idolatry that is in your heart. Hallelujah, because you're praying those cards. And they were surprised on how I knew they had these things in the wallet. And they began, these men began to take out the wallet and began to take out this card right there in front of everyone, my brother and sister. And they came down and got underneath crying before the Lord because they knew only the Lord can show you something like this, my brother and sister. Idol worshiping is a sin. No idolater. The word of God is clear. Will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Even if they're waiting to be raptured, departure. Without idolatry on the wallet, my brother and sister, they will not be raptured. God will not receive them this way because we need to repent every type, any form of idolatry in our life, my brother and sister, that is not pleasing unto the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There was such a presence of the Lord there that the Lord healed about 17 people and over 14 of them gave the life to Jesus. My brother and sister, such a powerful service. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory be to the Lord. To proclaim freedom to the captive. To let out into light those that are bound in darkness. To proclaim the year of favor of Adonai. Hallelujah. There is a year of favor coming. My brother and sister. And I believe this year of favor is for the church. For God's people. This is the year where God will answer everyone's prayer. This is the year where God will give us our petition. And part of that, I believe, is a revival. My brother and sister, a year of favor for Adonai, a day of vengeance out of our God. Yes, there's a day of vengeance. The earthquake happens in one day. Tsunami happens in one day. 3 days start down and it comes in one day. My brother and sister, the great tribulation begins in one day also. My brother and sister, there is a day of vengeance of the Lord coming, the word of God says. To comfort all that are mourn. He takes vengeance on his enemies, and he comforts all those. He's bringing home on the rapture, my brother and sister. He brings home those in the rapture, and then he deals with the rest. Praise you, Lord. Yes, provide to those who see on, who mourn. Hallelujah, Zion, who mourn. Giving them garland instead of ashes. Oil of gladness instead of mourning. Hallelujah. And clock of praise instead of heavy spirit. So that they will be called the oak of righteousness. Planted by Adonai, which he take pride. Hallelujah. They will reveal the ancient ruin. Restore the long, hallelujah, sight for long. Praise to Jesus. Great restoration is coming for God's people. Great restoration. Now God wants to restore our soul. Restore our mind, our spirit, and him. Notice how the devil, through the by sin, he just wanted people sold to captivate the soul. But Jesus came to set the captive free. My brother and sister, he came to destroy the work of the devil. Much prayer is required on those that are vaccinated. Much repenting is required on those that are vaccinated. My brother and my sister. But everyone needs restoration. Everyone needs healing. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. To set the captive free, you will be set free. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. You will be set free. Jesus says in John 8, I want to read this to you. Hallelujah. I want to show to you how when Jesus was preaching, great multitude that heard him, his teaching, came to him. But what I want you to hear what Jesus said to this multitude of men and women when he was preaching that came to him in John 8:30. Many people who heard him say these things trusted in him. So Yeshua said unto all the Judeans who are trusted in him, and one says to believers, if you obey what I say, then you will really be Talmudim, disciple. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Notice the step he takes with them. They first believe in him. They first gave their life to him. My brother and sister, a lot of people think that giving your life to Jesus is enough. It stays there, just go to church, you're okay. There is a process now of cleansing, purification, restoration, a process of healing. Isaiah 61, he gave the gospel, salvation. You receive the gospel. You are saved by grace. Then healing begins, my brother and sister. Then begins, hallelujah, hallelujah. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. People's heart needs to be healed, my brother and sister. And God knows this very well. He can see from heaven. He can look upon the earth and see humanity brokenhearted. Not that just only need salvation, they also need to be healed from the brokenhearted. People are losing, hallelujah, family member, friends, hallelujah. Look at marriage. Marriage is a gain to many. How many people in the church and the world are getting divorced? Hallelujah. They're broken the heart of the children, broken the heart of family, wife, husband. Husband, brokenhearted. Wife, brokenhearted. Children, brokenhearted. They need to be healed. They need to be healed. My brother and sister, so many people on this earth, brokenhearted by the government, by senator, by politician. People, hallelujah, don't know who to vote for, Democrat or Republican. They're brokenhearted. They've been brokenhearted by both. My brother and sister, they believe in the man, he lied, he deceived them. Then comes another, he lied, he deceived them. People are brokenhearted by so many things. They need salvation, yes, but their heart also need to be healed. He came to heal the brokenhearted, my brother, my sister. Hallelujah. They need to be healed to proclaim freedom to the captive. How is it that they are Christian and they receive the Lord and they're still captive? Can you explain that to me? He gave them the word. They are saved when they receive the word. Salvation came into the life when they received Jesus. And then followed the healing of the heart. And they're still captive, the Lord says. To proclaim freedom to the captive. My brother and sister, you see the step that takes. Hallelujah. Whatever is keeping you captive, religion, false belief, false religion. You need to ask the Lord to set you free from that captivity. You need to fast. You need to pray. You need to ask the Lord, Lord, I want to be set free because my family were Catholic. My family were Jehovah's Witnesses. They were Muslim. They believe in Buddha. They believe in this. They believe in those lies, Lord, that are not of God. You want to see how far religion wants to take people captive? Look, in the Dome of the Rock, which is in Jerusalem, the Jewish people are not allowed, my brother and sister, to go in there and pray like the Palestinians. Palestinians have law in places in the books that no Jewish, no other people from no Christian, no other people from any other nation can come in the land of Jerusalem where the Dome of the Rock is and pray. It is illegal according to the law. When I heard that this week, I couldn't believe this, my brother and sister. How can you be in Jerusalem? How can you be where the temple of God was and you're not allowed to pray? And this Christian lady who made the video, he went to speak to the authority of the Palestinians that are in the Dome of the Rock, my brother and sister. And she asked the authority, I'm a Christian. I came from another country. Will you allow me to come here and pray? And they say, it is not legal for you to do so. I was stunned. And she was also. She said, we are in the 10 days of Rosh Hashanah, which also, hallelujah, is a day. Rosh Hashanah also means for all of us to come together as one. Join, brothers and sisters. That's what Rosh Hashanah is about, for us and God's people to come together. She was saying to the Palestinian Authority, and the Authority says to her, under our Palestinian law, no Jewish, no Christian, no other people from another nation that are not Palestinian are allowed to pray in our temple. They said, according to our law. I was shocked and I was surprised, my brother and sister, of learning this. Hallelujah. This is how the devil wants to keep people away from one another. Hallelujah. That's why the devil doesn't allow the unity of the brethren, as the Bible calls them, my brother and sister. Because he'll put these law in places. He'll have these men and women put these law in places that will divide everyone from one another, my brother and sister. But when Messiah comes, he comes to restore this. He comes to restore the system. He comes to restore the nation. He comes to heal the nation. He comes to set the captive free. He comes to proclaim the day of the Lord, the day of vengeance of the Lord, and heal the wound of those that are hurt. My brothers and sisters, how many people you think are hurt by this? And now this leader, that before Netanyahu comes into office, my brothers and sisters, had declared the state of the Palestinian in Jerusalem, had divided Jerusalem. And Netanyahu came over this week on the news to speak about this. And he says that this should have not been proclaimed or declared or signed, because that means that he already signed the division of the land, my brother and sister. And there are people enraged because of this, angry that they have signed such a thing, they have declared such a thing. In the land of God, the land that God gave to Abraham and his seed, my brother and sister, they have declared unto the other nation. No, my brother and sister, to let out the light of those that are bound in dark, to proclaim the year of favor of Adonai and the day of vengeance of our God, to come for all that mourn, my brother and sister, to provide those assigned to mourn and give them their garland instead of ashes and the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Cloak of praise instead of heavy spirit, so that they will be called an oak of righteousness, planted by Adonai, which take, hallelujah, they will reveal the ancient ruins, restore city long, destroy. Ancient ruin, that's what the devil likes to cast upon the nations, ancient ruins, hallelujah, keep people hurting, keep people in pain. You know, when the devil keeps that hurting in your life that you need to be healed from, people will hate one another, not knowing for what reason. There are people that hate other people. And if you ask them, why do you hate other people? They say, I don't know, I just hate them, they say. Why did the Palestinians hate the Jewish? I don't know, we just hate them. My brother insisted. For no reason. Those are the brokenhearted, the people that have been hurt by even lying, deceived. And false information. The devil likes to put out false information, lie and deceive, to keep people hurting and in pain, full of unforgiveness, my brother and sister. He doesn't want people to repent, because if people repent to God, they are healed. Their hearts are healed. They are set free. And God fills them with the Spirit. God fills them with the presence, my brother and sister, and they will walk with God in a supernatural way, like Elijah and Enoch. My brother and sister, Elijah and Enoch were healed. Elijah, Enoch walking with God indicate that everything God wanted him to repent for, he did. He did every day. He walked with God. And when you walk with God, God will show you. He will bring to your memory the things he wants you to repent for. Some people wake up in the middle of the night. He said, I don't know why I wake up in the middle of the night remembering this that happened to me in the past. They even dream about it, because you have not been healed from it. The devil will use it against you. If it was not in you, if that unforgiveness, if that pain, if that hurting was not in you, the devil cannot use it against you. But if, because it is in you, and God, the devil, can see it. The devil can see the hurt in the spirit, the broken spirit, the broken heart. And he uses it against you, because you have not been healed from it. There are days that you are rejoicing and you're praising God and you're having such a great day. And the devil reminds you of what happened in your past, where you have not been healed from. It ruins your day All my day is ruined now. I was having such a great day, people say. And look at it now. He's using your past against you. Go to the Lord in prayer and fasting and say, Lord, heal me. Heal my broken hearted, Lord. Everything that the devil used to break my heart as I was growing up, Jesus, the people that I hurt and the people that hurt me, Jesus, please heal me, Lord. And mention the name. Don't worry about it. Mention the name to the Lord. And if you don't remember the day, you still remember when it happens. Even you don't have to remember the day when it happened. You remember the pain. You remember the hurting. Ask the Lord to heal you from it. Ask Jesus, the Father sent, to heal the brokenhearted, to heal you from. And the Lord will go deep into your heart. He's already in your life if you have the Holy Spirit. And he will begin to heal you as you begin to ask him and fast and pray and say, Lord, heal me, Lord. Lord, I remember growing up, if you were abused, if you were physically abused, if you were sexually abused, you got many hurting in you, many hurt that you need to be healed from. Ask the Lord to heal you from that abuse, from that pain, from that broken heart. Say, Lord, heal me, Lord. Heal me, Jesus. I need you to heal me, Lord. I don't want to have this pain anymore, Lord. I want to have peace about my past. I want to have peace about what happened to me, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, heal me, Lord. Heal me. Body, soul, and spirit, psychologically, emotionally, mentally, Lord, heal me. Check with the Lord. Check with the Holy Spirit. If you need healing. And watch how he'll show you. Watch how he'll show you that you do. And the devil will not use that against you anymore. Oh, no. God will fill you with his spirit, with his presence even more and more and more. And you say, how can there be so much presence of God in my life? He will fill you. He will fill you so much with his spirit. When you begin to ask him to heal you, that healing goes. You get your healing. That hurting goes. You get your healing. And he filled that with the Holy Spirit. You get another part of you healed. Hallelujah. That goes. And you feel, he'll fill that with the Holy Spirit. He'll continue to feel and feel every corner, every room, every closer. Hallelujah. Every part of your body, every part of the temple of the Holy Spirit. Get healed, 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 healed. More spirit, more power, more anointing. More spirit, more power, more anointing. As you get healed, more and more and more. You say, how can this be more and more? Because in heaven, there's more of God, more of God, more in eternity. You begin to learn and you keep going and you learn and you receive more and you turn into light and you turn into fire. You turn into power. You fly like light. You fly like the eagle. You turn into eagle. You turn into fire. You turn into water. You fly. You move. Hallelujah. There's no limit in God. There's no limitation in him. Praise you, Lord. The seraphim goes around the throne and they say, holy, holy, holy. And they fly with all their mind around the throne and they get another revelation of God. And they say, holy, holy, holy God Almighty, holy, holy. And they go around, they fly with all their mind to go around the throne and they get another revelation of God. And they say, holy, holy, holy God Almighty, and again and again and again and repeat all the time, and they keep getting more and more and more of God. There is no limit in God. Don't let the devil deceive you. Don't let the devil lie to you. Be healed. Be set free. He came to set the captive free, who the Son has set him free. It is free indeed. Shalom.
Hi, everyone. I'm Melissa with Midnight Hour Oil. I wanted to come out today and share with you some things that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, have been imparting to my spirit over this past week. And these are encouragements, things that I believe are going to encourage you and remind you of the protection that our Heavenly Father provides to his own. And a part of this is a warning, but mainly it is an encouragement. And there's several parts to this. So please bear with me as I try to work through it. But I also want everyone to know who is in the path of this hurricane that's getting ready to hit Florida. I am praying, intervening, interceding, but I just hope and pray everybody is taking precautions and getting to safe places. This all started on Monday. My husband and I were out taking a walk on, it's called Rails for Trails, and we try to go on different trails. And this was one we had been on years ago, but we hadn't been on it in a long time. So we were walking on this trail. And as we were walking, I see a shadow of something that flew overhead. And I said, what did that shadow come from? And I stopped and I looked up and I see this huge bird circle around and come back. And when it gets closer, I can see it's a bald eagle. And I'm telling Alan, oh, look, Alan, it's a bald eagle. And I watched it as it flew back over us and then went into a tree nearby. And as we were continuing our walk, I just felt the Holy Spirit impressing on me this message that we are under the shadow of his wings. And not only are we under his protective covering, under the shadow of the Father's wings, but an eagle is symbolic of the prophetic. So I understood that the message included that God is using the prophetic dreams, visions, prophetic words to protect and to cover us. I was really encouraged by that. I knew it was a gift and I knew that there was a message from the Lord in that. But then that night when I went to sleep, he also gave me a dream, and this dream confirms what he was sharing in that message on the trails. And it started out as I was being given dreams about America. I don't remember all the details, but I do remember that it was being impressed on my spirit through the night that America is like an adulteress. And at one point, Joe Biden, I knew he was impotent, and I recognized that that symbolized America being impotent. But I was having all, like, through the night, these dreams about America and her rebellion, and just knowing that God was displeased with her. And so then I had this dream where I was standing somewhere in this, I don't know, it was like a mall or something, and there were all these people there. And I told this one person, I walked over to this place and I pointed to the ground in a very specific spot, and I said, this is where there was a tree right outside that the wall. I said, if that tree falls, it's gonna land right here in this specific spot. And I was pointing to a very, very specific place it would hit. And so then the next thing I know, in the next part of the dream, I'm actually in that spot that I had pointed to, laying down. And as I'm laying there, all of a sudden I hear, it's like a cracking, like a tree cracking. I knew the tree was going to fall. And I couldn't move. I couldn't get out of the way. And suddenly the tree fell. And when it fell, it landed above me, beside me. It was around me, but it never touched me. The tree never touched me. And there's a lot of meaning to this dream. It's a very simple dream, but there's so much meaning to it. The Holy Spirit gave me. So in this dream, the Lord was showing me, first of all, that the tree, based on all the dreams I had been given, is symbolic of America. America is the tree. Trees in a dream are nations, and the branches are peoples. This tree symbolized America, and the tree the Lord is showing me is about to fall. All right, it's about to fall. And he was encouraging me that when it does fall, even though we, many of his people, were not going to be able to get out of the country, get out of the way, when it falls, it's not going to come near us. And this reminded me of Psalm 91. And I was thinking of Psalm 91 the day before when the Lord gave me the message with the eagle. So again, the Lord brings to mind Psalm 91. And I'm going to read that psalm to you in a minute here, but the part about me laying on the ground, and I had told Alan, I said, why was I laying there? Why wasn't I standing there? And he believes it means we are not going to have to do anything. God is going to do the work. And immediately when he said that, it bore witness with my spirit, and I remembered Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, where it says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And I had done a video not too long ago where an angel was telling me that the time would come when we would need to lie down as good soldiers. We would need to lie down. And if you hadn't seen that video, I encourage you to go watch it, because this is exactly what I was doing. I was resting. I was not working. I was resting. I was not able to get out of the way. But the Lord made sure that that tree, when it fell, did not cause me any harm. It didn't touch me. Just like the promise of Psalm 91, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. Remember the shadow that the eagle created, His feathers, His wings. The Lord was communicating this exactly when I was on the trails that day. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. That tree fell. It never touched me. We can trust the Lord to protect us in these times that are coming, when America experiences the judgment that so many people have seen in visions and dreams and have been given words, prophetic words about. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near you. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And I'm going to read a word that Dimitri Dunamis was given, and he confirms from an angel this exact scripture right here, that the Lord will dispatch protective workers to keep us safe and hidden in these times that are coming. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The Lord is demonstrating that He is going to protect us. He is going to, just like Psalm 91, ensure that those things that are falling apart around us are not going to harm His own. This is a promise. Psalm 91 is a divine promise that we as God's people can rely on. We can count on this. And I believe in everything the Lord spoke to me through the dream and through this experience on the trails, that He is saying just that. I am going to protect you. When your nation falls, see, I heard the cracking of the tree before it fell. The Lord is showing us He is going to give us a warning. We as the church are not going to be caught off guard. We are going to be aware when that fall takes place. And how will we be aware? Well, remember at the first part of the dream, I was pointing to the exact place that tree would hit. The Lord with the eagle, eagles are symbolic of prophecy. The Lord is giving His people dreams and visions and prophetic words to show us exactly how things are going to unfold. And many have been given words concerning America and her fall. We know this is coming. This is not new. But the important thing for us to remember is that when these things begin to unfold, when you hear the cracking and you know the nation is about to fall, turn to the Lord and trust Him. Lie down and wait upon Him to cover you and ensure that you are hidden. Because we can't fight these things. We can't stop these things. These judgments are going to unfold. But in the midst of them, our God will protect us. We can count on that. And then I got an email from somebody that also confirmed exactly what I was shown in the dream and through the word, the message I was given on the trails. So this is a word that was given to Dimitri Dudeman. I've read many of his words. This was a man who was a soldier for the Lord. He was, they tried to electrocute him 2 times, and he didn't die. And they finally ended up releasing him. But he's been given many words, prophecies, things from the Lord. He was tortured for the Lord. He endured a lot. And the Lord gave him a lot of knowledge concerning America and things coming to America. He actually was called as a missionary to this nation. So anyway, in this one vision, he was given this on April 22nd of 1996. And this is, I'm just going to read it as it's written. He said, "I prayed, then went to bed. I was still awake when suddenly I heard a trumpet sound. A voice cried out to me, 'Stand.' In my vision, I was in America. I walked out of my home and began to look for the one who had spoken to me. And as I looked, I saw 3 men dressed alike. 2 of the men carried weapons. 1 of the armed men came to me. 'I woke you to show you what is to come.' He said, 'Come with me.' I didn't know where I was being taken, but when we reached a certain place, he said, 'Stop here.' A pair of binoculars was handed to me, and I was told to look through them. 'Stand there, don't move, and look,' he continued. 'You will see what they are saying and what they are preparing for America.' As I was looking, I saw a great light. A dark cloud appeared over it. I saw the president of Russia, a short, chubby man who said he was the president of China, and 2 others. The last 2 also said they were where they were from, but I did not understand. However, I gathered they were part of Russian-controlled territory. The man stepped out of the cloud. The Russian president began to speak to the Chinese one. 'I will give you the land with all the people, but you must free Taiwan of the Americans. Do not fear, we will attack them from behind.' A voice said to me, 'Watch where the Russians penetrate America.' I saw these words being written, 'Alaska, Minnesota, Florida.' Then the man spoke again, 'When America goes to war with China, the Russians will strike without warning.' The other 2 presidents spoke, 'We too will fight for you.' Each had a place already planned as a point of attack. All of them shook hands and hugged. Then they all signed a contract. One of them said, 'We're sure that Korea and Cuba will be on our side too. Without a doubt, together we can destroy America.' The president of Russia began to speak insistently, 'Why let ourselves be led by the Americans? Why not rule the world ourselves? They have to be kicked out of Europe too. Then I could do as I please with Europe.' The man standing beside me asked, 'This is what you saw. They act as friends and say they respect the treaties made together. But everything I've shown you is how it will really happen. You must tell them what is being planned against America. Then when it comes to pass, the people will remember the words the Lord has spoken.' 'Who are you?' I asked. 'I am the protector of America. America's sins has reached God. He will allow this destruction, for he can no longer stand such wickedness. God, however, still has people that worship him with a clean heart as they do his work. He has prepared a heavenly army to save these people.' As I looked, a great army, well-armed and dressed in white, appeared before me. 'Do you see that?' the man asked. 'This army will go to battle to save my chosen ones. Then the difference between the godly and the ungodly will be evident.'" Okay, so based on Dimitri's encounter with this angel, this vision he was given of what is coming, we know America is going to be judged. She is going to pay the price for her sins, and she is guilty of much. What Dimitri was shown by that angel is exactly what I have been being shown, and many others who are given dreams, visions, or prophetic words are being shown, that America is going to fall, and there are specific nations that are working together to accomplish that. We see these things lining up and will probably be unfolding soon. But we as the church, we do not need to fear these things. We just need to trust the Lord and believe that he is keeping us hidden and safe. He is with us. His promise wasn't that we would never face trouble or struggles or suffer in any way. because anybody who walks with the Lord struggles and goes through suffering. But his promise was to be with us in it, and he will be with us. And so I encourage you to take all this to the Lord in prayer. Ask him for confirmations to show you anything that he wants to reveal to you that's coming and how you can prepare, because it does take preparation physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Also, I'm going to provide a link to the video I did a few months ago entitled Lie Down. It was regarding an angelic message I was given. I referenced it in earlier on in the video. And this is a spiritual warfare tactic that I believe that we as the church right now really need to embrace. We need to understand it and walk in it, because as things begin to heat up and can become more and more frightening, it can be very challenging to just be still and trust the Lord. But that is exactly what we need to do, church. So please look for the link in the description box. I hope, I pray that this message encourages and blesses you, church. And as always, it is my prayer that we will all continue to keep our lamps burning bright while we wait for Jesus. I love you all. God bless you.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me once again on my YouTube channel today. Today is September the 26th of 2022. I'd like to share another word with you the Lord has given me that I hope will encourage you to stay strong in this day. As I have mentioned in a previous video, the word of the day has not been posted to my website recently, and I apologize for any inconvenience that may be causing any of you who relied on this service. My hope is that in the future I can have this up and running again to make the word available in a printable format. Just a shout of thanks out to those who have been staying with me, even though these videos have been fairly sporadic through the weeks. I thank you for your support, for your comments, for your interaction. And my prayer continually is that those who hear these words will be blessed by them. And in the light of that, I would like to introduce the word for today. This word today speaks of those who are sending out the word of the Lord, whether it is through a prophetic ministry or some other form of distribution, because the Lord's intention is that his word goes forth in this day. And as we will see in this word, there is a confirmation that the Lord is sending out a warning to prepare people for his return. Yes, we do not know the day or the hour, but there are many who are watching the signs of the times, and many who are theologians who have studied the prophecies in the Bible and are coming to the conclusion that the time of the Lord's return is very soon. Many of us have wondered, how is it that the Lord is bringing restoration, that he is taking his people into the promised land, that he is promising blessings and security in this world that is falling apart. But in this word today, some light is being shed. These things are all coming into place, and the kingdom of God will be established throughout the earth, with righteousness restored in the land. However, the question is timing. When will these things take place? In receiving a prophetic word, it seems that these things are taking place now. And yet our timing is not necessarily in sync with God's timing. And so our understanding of the times and events taking place may not be completely accurate. One thing we do know for sure is the Lord is coming, that he is returning, and that he is preparing his remnant bride to be with him. And though this word speaks of a great tribulation coming to pass, we can be assured the Lord has prepared his ark to bring to safety those who are trusting in him. I hope this word today will encourage every one of you hearing it. Its title is A Time of Great Tribulation. I'll begin by reading scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. This scripture reference speaks of the Lord's return, but it also speaks of the rapture of the church. Psalm 119, verse 105, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This scripture speaks of the word of God and how the word of God gives direction and leads in the right direction. Hebrews 4, verse 12, For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This scripture speaks of the power of God's word, that it discerns the matters of the heart. Isaiah 55, verse 11, So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. This scripture also speaks of the word of God, that the Lord sends his word out to accomplish his purposes. I'll begin reading this word. This is the day of the Lord's favor. Every high and lofty thing is coming down. Every low place is being raised up. The way is being made ready for the Lord's return. Enter through the narrow way, for the wide way leads to destruction, and many are they that go this way. Let go of wicked ways, everything that does not please the Lord. For in this day the wicked ways of men will be revealed. Every lying spirit is being captured and brought into submission under the Lord's feet. Every vile thing will be seen for what it is, as the eyes of the blind are being opened to see the folly of the ways of men. I am increasing the velocity of the winds of my spirit in this day, says the Lord. Every covering will be stripped away to expose evil in the hearts of men. Every false concept will be exposed and brought under submission to the Lord. Those who have been caught prey to the father of lies and have believed the lies of the enemy have been trapped. They have been deceived and have walked in darkness, held captive and unable to go on in the things of God. But I am bringing the light of understanding into their midst. They will clearly see the error of their ways and turn and be brought in line with the word of the Lord. Keep the fire of the Spirit burning. Add precept upon precept. You are being built into a structure built by God, the Master Builder. The deep things of the Spirit are being revealed in this day, for I am doing a deeper work than any man can see. I am subjecting every unrighteous judgment made by men to the Lordship of Jesus. The accuser of the brethren is being cut off, no longer able to hinder my elect from going forward in the power and anointing of my Spirit. Every enemy shall be put under your feet. Fire is being sent from heaven, and it will burn the sacrifice. What is left will be incorporated into the structure I am building in this day, says the Lord. You will reap where you have not sown if you put your hope in me. You will see the loss coming from far and wide, being herded up, gathered up in this day, for I am the good shepherd, and I am bringing the sheep home. If you love me and keep my commandment to love one another, you will reap a great harvest of souls, for I am putting the sickle into your hands, and you shall reap of the fields which are ready to be harvested. Coming is a day of great trial and tribulation, as the world has never known. The time is short, the end is near, and just as in the days of Noah, it will catch many unaware. This does not need to be so with you, my beloved. I am sending out my warning all over the earth. I am calling out the news everywhere. I am sending out the town criers to get the message out. The rains are beginning to fall. The ark is prepared, but the people must enter it to be safe from the tribulation that is coming. My plan to reach the nations with the message of my coming is in place. I have posted my messengers in strategic locations and equipped them with my word and with the means to distribute it. Take it into the highways and byways. Deliver it to the poor, for they shall receive it with gladness. They will not disrespect it, but will choose to heed it, for it is a light for their paths. It will bring them home to the Father. Make it available on every street corner. Do not fear what man might do, but trust that I have prepared the way for my word to go forth, says the Lord. This is my word. In the midst of a perverse generation, I have reserved a remnant who will please the Lord their God. These are the ones who will reign and rule with the Lord in his coming kingdom. Do not fear the tribulation that is coming, but be prepared to be lifted up out of it, says the Lord. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They shall enter into the ark prepared, be lifted up out of the floodwaters, and be brought to safety. Powerful is the word of God. It is a two-edged sword. Distribute it. It will accomplish what it is sent out to do. I have given it to you. It is not your word, so do not try to protect it, for it stands alone and speaks for itself. You need no explanation for it. I will give you the map and show you where to take it. The shroud is being dispersed. The skies are clearing. The fog is dissipating. And the light is shining through, says the Lord. The people are able to receive. I'm moving you on into deeper waters of my Spirit. You will go deeper into the wells of salvation. Be baptized into their waters. Carry the message of hope with you and bring salvation to the poor. Heed my word. Do not doubt it. But heed what it is saying. This is a day like no other. All the things you never dreamed possible are coming to pass in this generation. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Yes, the Lord is on the move today, and he's on the move in the world we live in. He is speaking about the tribulation that is coming, but he is also telling us that he has built an ark of safety for those who would hear the warning. But there are those who will not heed this warning, just as in Noah's day. But the Lord is making every effort to get this word out. He is sending out his town criers, his messengers, with the message of his coming. Yes, the tribulation is coming, but not for those who belong to the Lord, for the remnant who has been longing for his return, because he is coming to take us up in the air to be with him. And yes, he will fulfill all of his promises regarding his coming, but also of the extension of his kingdom throughout the whole earth, his righteous rule. But is it that the tribulation will take place first, while the church of Jesus Christ has been raptured and then returns with him for his reign upon the earth? The Lord is telling us that the time is short, and though we live in a perverse generation, it is this generation in which he chooses to return. And so the question may be, when will this great event of the Lord's return and the rapture of the church take place? How long will it be before the waters cover the earth, the waters of tribulation, the wrath of God being poured out upon the wicked, upon those who refused to accept the word of the Lord given to them? That word that has been given as a light to light the way. And so there is nothing to fear for those who belong to the Lord. Though the tribulation is coming, the Lord is telling us we will be lifted out of it. And so this is the message today. Are we listening, and are we ready for what is ahead? I pray that each one listening today will have a stirring in their hearts of the excitement of the Lord's return. May we look up in these days and be ready. Thank you for listening today. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. And may he give you his peace. Be blessed. Have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you again the next time. Bye for now. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me once again on my YouTube channel today. Today is September the 28th of 2022, and I'd like to bring you another word from the Lord that I hope will encourage you. In the days we are living in, there are many events taking place, some positive events and others quite negative. The world is changing. Things are turning around. It's almost like a whirlwind has hit us and things are being thrown up into the air. Our securities and our hopes and plans of the future. Things are not as they used to be, and they may never look the same again. Our securities and our freedoms have been challenged. And so we can become disappointed, depressed, and under the oppression of the enemy. And so we can be discouraged if we keep our eyes on what is going on round about us. We all want change, but we want change for the better. And this word today will encourage us that no matter what is going on around us, and no matter how negative the events are that are taking place, the Lord has prepared a place for his people where we can find safety. And not only safety, but God's plans are good plans for our lives. And his promises toward us are true. Not only does he promise us freedom and liberty, but he promises us abundant life. And so, yes, there is change taking place. Changes in the world around us, but changes are taking place in us as well. And though our emphasis is usually on the world around us, the Lord has his emphasis on us, the changes he is accomplishing within his body. And so as we shift our focus off of the world and on to what the Lord has promised and is accomplishing, we will find hope, encouragement, and a way of escaping depression, anxiety, insecurity, and hopelessness. I hope this word today will bless you as you hear it. It is titled, Change is Taking Place. I'll begin by reading scripture. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 through 18. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This scripture reference points to the change that is taking place within the people of God. We are being transformed by the power of the Spirit, and we are being brought into freedom. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If we are looking for an answer for freedom from those things that have plagued us and brought us down, for a way for us to enter into the abundance of Christ, the Lord is giving us counsel to pray and seek him and to turn from our wicked ways. I'll begin reading this word. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Make known the goodness of God to the nations. In this day I am doing a work amongst my people, says the Lord. I am rescuing them from their own selfish plans and causing them to conform to the image of Christ, to do the works of the Father. No longer will they disregard the poor. They shall be changed and take on the role of servants, seeking to please the master. No longer will they expect that they deserve the best, but they will relinquish all that they have to serve the poor. I am doing it, says the Lord. I am transforming my people. they shall walk humbly before their God and only do what pleases him. Greed and idolatry in their lives will be dealt with. Not one will be able to function in self-will, for I'm taking their will and molding it to conform to my will. I am calling a people together who are willing and obedient, who will allow themselves to be broken for my sake, who will let go of selfishness, greed, and idolatry. I am putting things in proper order, says the Lord. My spirit is moving over the earth, and much is being accomplished in the realm of the spirit. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and the authority the Father has given me is being put to use to tear down strongholds in the heavens, to pull apart hierarchies of power in high places. Nothing will remain the same. I am at work to tear down a structure that has dominated and controlled my body, and I am bringing release to the captives. Every oppression is being lifted off my people, says the Lord, and they shall be brought into a fresh and living relationship with God the Father and Jesus the Son. Even those who have sat on the outside looking in are being set free by the power of my spirit, and soon they shall join in with the sound of worship going up to my throne. My heart is ever toward the outcast, the one rejected of men, for I too was rejected of men and suffered at the hands of the wicked, those who had only the appearance of godliness but did not know the Father. The tide is turning. Those who were something in the eyes of others will become nothing, and those who were outcasts are coming into the kingdom of God to sit with the King. I have come with a sword to smite the enemy, and I will not relinquish until the enemy is cut to the ground. Great are the mysteries of God to be revealed in this day. Those who have ears to hear will hear what the Spirit of God is saying. These will hear the Father's voice and his instructions for the people. Just as in days of old my prophets were sent to warn and instruct the people, in this day I am sending my prophets forth with my message to this generation. If my people, those who are called by my name, repent and turn from their wicked ways, they shall be changed. They will enter into the fullness of the promises of God. Revelation knowledge is being released into the body of Christ, and truths hidden from the beginning are opening up to those who have ears to hear, says the Lord. In this word today, the Lord is speaking about change, great change, but he is not addressing the world around us. He is addressing us, his people. He is conforming us to his image, transforming us by his power, and bringing release to us as captives to the fleshly nature. If we have been in depression, if we have been oppressed and down and out, there is an answer. And it isn't necessarily that the world will become a better place to live. It is because the Lord has a plan to transform his people, to fill us with his glory, to fulfill his promises toward us, promises of freedom and liberty in Christ, promises of an abundant life. We have, to a certain extent, been conformed to the world and to the world's expectations, and we have walked in worldly ways. But in this day and hour, the Lord is delivering his people from the world's control, from the pharaohs of the land. We don't have to be subjected to them. We need to be subjected to the Lord Jesus Christ. We may think we don't need to change. And though we may think that our enemies are those in the world around us, our true enemies are those working inside of us. And it is the strongholds in our own lives that cause us to flounder. And so the Lord is delivering us from our own selfishness, giving us his heart for the poor, bringing us into submission to him, that we would truly walk humbly before him, that we would be sorry for the part we have played in the world around us, and that we would be willing to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. We know that the truth of scriptures is often the opposite of the truth of the world. Those things the world values are not the same things that the Lord values. Our freedom is not dependent on changes in the world around us. It is dependent on us being transformed by the power of God. So there is hope, even if the changes in the world look negative. The Lord is extending his hand to his people to bring positive change in our personal lives. I hope this word will encourage you today and help you to readjust your focus. If you have been focusing on the negative events taking place in the world, it's time to change your focus. We all need to look to the Lord. He is our help. He is our strength. He is the one who has a good plan and purpose for our lives, independent of what goes on in the world. Let's rejoice in him and give thanks with a grateful heart. And let's declare God's goodness in the land. Thank you for listening today. Have a wonderful afternoon, and we'll talk to you again the next time. Bye for now.
Greetings, brothers and sisters, in the mighty, precious, glorious name of our Lord and Savior. For those of you that follow our ministry regularly, you know that we broadcast a weekly Bible prophecy update every Saturday evening at 9:30 p.m. with Dr. Ruisi. What some of you may not know is that we here at Sheepsong Ministries are located in the state of Florida. And just this past week, we were devastated in this state by Hurricane Ian. We praise the Lord that we were not specifically in the direct hit like the West Coast was, and we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ over on the West Coast of Florida that were most severely impacted by the storm. But we were in the line of the storm, and the fact of the matter is this past week, we were inundated with responsibilities of helping loved ones get ready for the storm and protecting the homes and businesses that they depend on. And we never want to rush or force an update and not give it the amount of ample time that we truly know and believe in our hearts it deserves. We take this calling extremely seriously, and so it was for that reason that we have made the decision prayerfully to postpone this week's Bible prophecy update. We don't make a decision like that lightly because we really do love to bring prophetic updates and words of encouragement to each and every one of you. but we also want to make sure that we have ample time to do so. And with everything with this hurricane this week, it just made it very difficult. So we pray and hope, and we know that you guys will understand. And my understanding is that Dr. Ruisi has a powerful, powerful word that the Lord is birthing in his heart that he is very eager to share with you all, Lord willing, next Saturday evening. We know that this year has been full of a lot of twists and turns, and we, as a body of believers, anticipated Pentecost, that was a very high watch probability for the Harpazo. And we saw that they come and go. And then just recently, the Feast of Trumpets, another high watch probability for the Harpazo. And again, we watched that feast come and go. And sometimes when that happens, we can get a little bit weary and discouraged. But the fact of the matter is that we know in our hearts that this is the season of our Lord's return. So while a specific day may come and go and it not occur, we know that we are truly at the very end, and the Lord is going to snatch his bride out of here at any moment. So I know that next week Dr. Ruisi has a word that he is putting to pen and paper regarding that in particular, as we have watched specific days come and go, and just the condition of the heart that can grow weary as a result. And so Dr. Ruisi sent me a word that I'm just going to read verbatim that is regarding next week's message. And he said that in the past 2+ years, the very floodgates of hell have opened wide. The issues that have thus emerged are diabolical, and they are not going away. In fact, they are only intensifying to such a degree that it is very difficult to even believe. But the facts continue to emerge that cannot be denied. Jesus made unalterable promises to his bride, the church. If he intends to keep those promises, and he does, we know he's a promise keeper, the church must be removed from the earth almost immediately. Next week, Dr. Ruisi will be touching on some of those evil issues fermenting in the world today, and specifically in certain dark evil circles that we're watching rise up all around us. He says, we are here. The time is at hand. We are about to meet the Lord in the air. Soon, there is no question about it. So I know Dr. Ruisi is very encouraged and excited about this upcoming message. And Lord willing, you guys will join us next Saturday evening at our normal scheduled time as he shares what the Lord is pouring into his heart regarding the fact that we are leaving so very soon. So be encouraged. Don't be discouraged that Feast of Trumpets has passed and we're still here. If we're still here, we know that it is only because the Lord has more work for us to do, and particularly reaching lost souls to bring them into the fold, because the age of grace is literally about to end. The door is closing, and the Lord has specific individuals that need to be brought into the fold before that door closes. So be encouraged, and I just want to also share a specific Bible passage that I know is one of Dr. Ruisi's favorite words that he loves to share, and that he meditates upon as well. And it's out of Isaiah 26:3. And it's, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And when we meditate upon that word, he will keep us in perfect peace despite the imperfect world, despite the crazy events that are happening all around us. See, it's perfect peace not because of the circumstances, but despite the circumstances. But there is a call to action that God requires on the part of the believer in order to receive that perfect peace. And that is the second part of the verse where he says, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in the Lord. Trust is so important in this final hour, trusting the promise keeper that he is a God who cannot lie and he keeps his word. And we must know what that word is in order for it to impact our lives in a way that allows us to trust effectively. And the way we know what those promises are is by staying in his word, keeping our mind stayed on him, not swaying here and there, staying part in the word and part in the world, but keeping our mind stayed on him. We will have perfect peace no matter what is going on around us. So I just want to encourage and bless each and every one of you. We love you guys so much. You know, for 10 plus years, Sheep Song Ministries was primarily a street ministry. And so we got to see those that we were ministering to and able to be a part of their lives face to face. And so this is a little different for us in the last 18 plus months to be evangelizing through social media and online platforms. We don't necessarily get to see you guys face to face, but that hasn't changed the fact that we truly have grown such a love and appreciation for each and every one of you. And so I just want to pray for each of you guys, because I think it's hard for us to not share an update, because we know that there's so much going on and so many of you guys are growing weary, and you in some ways depend on hearing a word through this ministry each week, and it helps you to kind of have a little bit of strength to get through until the next week should the Lord tarry. And so we, it's hard for us to not, you know, to not be able to meet those needs because we know that it's hard times. But we're only vessels, and the Lord works through us, and God is with us no matter what, no matter whether we put out an update or not. The Lord, he is with you. And he knows your circumstances. He knows what you're going through. He knows your struggles, your fears, the sicknesses, whatever it is that you may be going through. He knows, and he's with you. He promises to never leave us, to never forsake us, and that he will be with us to the very end. So I just want to pray for you guys, and pray that the Lord may speak a word in season to your weary heart. So, dear Lord, I just lift up each and every person who is hearing my voice in this moment, and I lift up their needs before you. Whatever their fears or their concerns, the sicknesses that they may be having in their bodies, Lord, may you meet them where they are. May you meet their needs. For we know, Lord, that you will supply all of our needs according to your riches in glory. And Lord, that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us, that even though at the very end it is prophesied that the body of Christ will grow weary, you tell us to hold on just a little longer, for you are coming. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us the necessary strength to hold on. It is not by our own might, not by our own power, but by your Spirit and your Spirit alone. And Lord, I just pray for those that are in the valley of Baca, the valley of tears in this moment, that you would fill the pools of their heart with the spring of your living water, that you would burst forth a new hope in them, a hope that will carry them through into that great and glorious appearing, that catching away in the clouds. Lord, meet the needs of your people. May you bless them. May you be with them. And I just pray, Lord, that you would bind the spirit of fear and heaviness. For Lord, we know that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Help us, Lord, to keep our mind stayed on you, that we look not to the left, not to the right, that we don't look upon the storms that are going on all around us, but that we keep our eyes fixed upon you, the prize, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let us finish this race, O Lord, with a fervent expectancy of your soon return. And may we be found doing the work that you have called us to do when you come. Whatever that work may be, O Lord, may we be faithful in it, doing it to an audience of one. For it is not about us, O Lord. It's all about you. It's all about the finished work on the cross of Calvary, the price that you paid so dearly that none should perish, or that you desire all would come to the saving knowledge of you, O Lord. And we just pray that if there be any here right now listening to the sound of my voice that are not ready, Lord, that you would just prick their hearts, cause them to fall upon their knees and to humble themselves, O Lord, and to call upon you. For your ear is not too far, nor is your hand that you cannot hear, that you cannot save. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for always providing a way where we thought maybe there was none. Lord, may you help us to be unified as one body of believers, of one accord and one mind, sharing the truth in love, being an example of your perfect love, yet never compromising the truth. As the world is compromising the truth, Lord, let us be a light in the darkness, shining brightly the way, the truth, and the life. For that is you, and it is only through you, O Lord, that we can be saved. Bless your holy people in this week, and keep them and sustain them, and may your face shine upon them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you all, and pray for us, and we will continue to be praying for you, and let us all pray for those that were most devastatingly impacted by this storm. We have some family on the west coast of Florida that were hit pretty hard, and so, but God is faithful, and he will see us through every storm that comes our way until he catches us up and we hear those words, come up hither. God bless you all. We'll see you next Saturday if not in the air sooner. Have a blessed week in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I'm Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. The old and new subscribers alike, you are very welcome. I would like to mention that if you are not a subscriber, you are welcome to subscribe. You're under no duress to do so. It's only because there is a community page on the Master's Voice. You can find it on the channel dashboard. To find the channel dashboard, you type in the Master's Voice Prophecy Blog. If you do not type in the full name, you will see a lot of other videos because YouTube deliberately hides these videos for obvious reasons I've explained because of the type of subjects that I cover here. The blog used to be very easy to find on Google, on Safari. Now it's difficult, so you have to be willing to put in a little bit of work. So if you type in the Master's Voice Prophecy Blog, it will show you my channel name with the little firebird, and then you click that, and it will take you straight to the dashboard, and then you will see home, you will see about, you will see playlists, you will see community. On the community page are several things that I share, insights that the Lord is giving me personally. That is where I occasionally share a bit of teaching. I break down scriptures for people. Sometimes if these prophecies are starting to show themselves, I will put examples there just to keep people updated on what is happening. And that is also where I share quite a bit of the prophetic insights and the personal things that God is sharing with me in my own walk. And I have taken the initiative to share things there occasionally so that people can have a broader picture of the time period that we are both in and going into. Today I have a prophecy, and wouldn't you know, it doesn't have a name. I received a prophecy from the Lord today, Thursday, September 29. It is three dreams, but I can't really remember the second dream. I only remember what the Lord was telling me after the second dream. And the third dream, it is very long. It is one of these dreams that the Lord gives me that comes out exactly like a movie. It's one of these dreams where until you wake up, or until I wake up, I have no idea that I'm dreaming. Everything is real. Everything seems to be happening as if it was real life. And if it's not the Lord to talk to me in that dream where I can separate, okay, this is a dream, or bring me out of it, I would be in that dream responding and reacting exactly as if it were real. So I'm not too sure if I'm going to put that dream on the internet, but we have much scripture to go through. We have much ground to cover. And so let us begin. The two dreams that I had this morning were about Donald Trump. So on this channel, I made it very clear from the time I started the Master's Voice that I, Celestial, am not interested in your personal preferences when it comes to political issues. In fact, from the very first prophecy I made concerning politics, and I think that would have been speaking about Obama, I made it clear in that video and all the other ones coming after that in order to be true to the work that God has given me, I do not care and I'm not interested in people's personal preferences when it comes to politics. In fact, I have warned one thing consistently. If you are still operating at the juvenile level, and I'm speaking directly to Americans here because no other group of people seems to suffer from this quite as much as we do. If you're still operating at the juvenile level of faith where you're unable to walk through the pages of the Bible without constantly bringing your blue filter or your red filter to prophetic events in the Bible, then you're actually in the slowest and the last caboose at the end of the train, because you will actually think that when prophecy is being unfolded before God's end time children, meaning all God's end time children across the known world, you will constantly think that it has to be about Biden or it has to be about Trump. I can't even bring a dream here and mention that the person in the dream was blonde. There will be at least 30 comments going, it was Trump, wasn't it? People, you have a fixation, and all I have to tell you is the words of the Lord this morning are only for one group of people. It is that group of people who, when you hear God's words, you will realize that you have reached, as Boyz II Men said, the end of the road, and it is time to come out of deception. If you come out of deception, there is yet hope for you. You can come out of that deception and cross over to the place where you are in truth. You can then begin to actually work on your faith, like the way a woman will work on dough to get it to rise and to get it to be what she wants for very good bread. You will realize that as long as you stay tethered to anything in this world, you are going to fulfill many bitter pieces of scripture. And one of the bitterest of them that I'm constantly bringing on this channel is this: therefore, you shall fall among the slain. Now, this is part of what was being said to, I think, the king of Tyre. And I think it's, I'm not going to give it a citation, but I know it's in the book of Isaiah where God is judging the king of Tyre, who is like a type of Satan, and saying, therefore, you will fall among the slain. To fall among the slain is a very bitter judgment. It literally means that when the dead bodies are hitting the earth, yours, for multiple reasons, is going to be among them. And one of the things that the Lord was telling me way too early in the morning, about 6 o'clock this morning, is that many bodies will fall to the earth because of deception. So of all the reasons that you could pass away, maybe bravely trying to protect your family from Nephilim, or equally bravely trying to protect your family from end times hybrid dog soldiers, the reason that some people will lose their life is because they are so deceived that, as God says, their wound cannot be healed. This means that it is impossible to administer truth to you. You literally can't hear it because you have two blocks of wood here, a 2x4 here, and an entire brick wall here. And truth has literally no entry point to you. And therefore, the whole of you is going to be spoiled by the coming of end times events that you refused to wake up to and comprehend. So this is a tragedy. This is a sad ending for anyone who claims that they are Christian and claims they've got a handle on the end times. To fall among the slain, what an indictment. And without further ado, let's go into it. So the second dream about Donald Trump, I cannot remember, but the first dream is that I dreamt that Donald Trump came to me and he told me to stop talking. So it wasn't a very long dream. It was just what you might call just a snippet of a dream. I dreamt that I was just standing. Let's just say I was just standing. I was standing and it was nighttime, and I was standing under the street lights, and there was a bit of light fog, and a figure began to approach me out of the fog. So it was a man coming towards me. But you know how it is in these slow dissolve moments where a person is coming towards you in the fog, but until they literally emerge out of this fog, you have no idea who is approaching you. And this man came right up close to me, like those slow dissolve moments in the movies, and then he came out, and I saw that it was Mr. Trump. He was wearing a dark suit. He was wearing this very long black trench coat that we're quite used to seeing him in the colder months. And it was very simple what he told me. He told me, shut your mouth or you will regret it. Shut your mouth before something bad happens to you. That's all he said. He wasn't even particularly emotional when he said it. He just delivered his statements in very cool and a calm manner. Shut your mouth or you will regret it. Shut your mouth before something bad happens to you. And I looked at him and I didn't say anything. I didn't need to answer him. One of the things that God has told me is you don't need to answer people in your dreams unless it's necessary. And I also didn't answer him because, at least in this one, I knew it was a dream. So he gave me this long, calm look, and then he turned around and he walked away. And out of this dream, I woke up briefly, and I will read to you from my tablet because this is not yet on the blog. I woke out of this short dream only briefly, and I said, Lord, what is it? Now, this is a phrase that I just ask God when I see things, snippets of things, sometimes a long dream that has many moving parts. Some I get, some I don't get, and God is always faithful right there to answer. And the Lord said that Donald Trump is a federal operative. Now, you have to understand, this word operative, it, in its basic form, it just means one who works for someone else. But here in America, we understand that if you sit and you're pushing paper all day, or if you work at the DMV, or if you work at a daycare, or even if you work as the CEO of a bank, no one is going to call you an operative. We usually reserve that word for people who are highly enmeshed and embedded in politics, policy, and international matters, matters of politics and international policy, as in dealing with Russia and dealing with China and that kind of thing. The people who move around in that world, especially those, please listen, especially those who walk around in secrecy, especially those whose work requires secrecy, these are the people that we call operatives. The Lord said that this man is working with the federal government to deceive the people of America. He is a federal operative. He works for the government. He is controlled opposition. He is a dummy alternative for the people to keep them occupied while the real preparations and arrangements are being made for the beast government to take effect. Now, I will just stop at this moment to... I will stop because there's still more about him written down here that the Lord gave me before I started. But I will just stop here to go back to the prayer call recently where the Lord was very angry and the Lord made some very revealing statements. And these statements, I knew them as far back as 2016. So the Lord made some very revealing statements. And one of the statements he said is that President Trump is not going back to the White House. He said that President Trump had no business in the White House the first time. And then he said that the only reason that he let President Trump get near the White House is because the alternative would have been President Hillary Clinton was by far worse an outcome for America. That this woman does diabolical deeds against adults and children. And had America allowed someone with what God called a murdering temperament, a murderous intent to sit in that seat of power, it would have been hell and havoc for the people of this nation. Now, this is something that I knew all the way back then. And the Lord has given me license to speak of what I knew all the way back then. When these things were going on, and you're just sitting and you're watching to see the outcome of what is going to happen. I remember straining as a horse strains against the bridle towards the Lord, saying, Father, have mercy on us in this country. Have mercy on us in this country. Whatever form of mercy you choose to have mercy on us in this country. And it was with much shock that I saw what the outcome would be. And the Lord did say that he had mercy. So now we skip ahead before. And again, I went to the Lord with this prayer in 2020. God, have mercy on us in this country. And this time the Lord rebuked me. And I'm not ashamed to talk about such things because it is a non-humble person who will not be able to disclose when God has shut the door. I have warned on this channel that many of you want to be more merciful than God. So God will say, this arm is diseased. I will hack it off. And then here come the lymphocytes of the so-called church. God, can't we give this arm penicillin? Can't we work on it somehow? God, let's give it a second chance. I know that this arm has been harming men, women, and children in the nation. I know that this arm has been harming men, women, and children in the church. But, oh, God, aren't you a God of love, the reckless love God? Let's work on this arm. This habit infuriates God very much. So the reason I went to God with a second plea for mercy is not because I care about U.S. politics. I went because I know that the day American politics stops working, foreigners, I hope you're listening very well, in every country where you tune in, the day American politics stops working, we are going kit and caboodle into the beast system. See, that's what I care about because God has called me to end times work. He hasn't called me to be interested in your MAGA or your Build Back Better or your filibusters and whatever else. God has called me to care about the fact that one day this earth will be empty of many things, but one of the things it will be missing the most is human beings. That's what I'm interested in. Because the beast system is a coming machine that will methodically exterminate human life. And other countries are going to watch as blood flows here until they're going to have to look aside. So that's what I care about. Every time I observe a hiccup taking place in the halls of power, I don't think, oh, my favorite pony is about to lose a race. What I think is we are one step closer to extermination, mass extermination and death. Father, please have mercy. And in 2020, the Lord told me, do not be like them. Do not distress me by continuing to ask mercy for this people. I will show them no more mercy. I will have no more grace. God said, and the prophecy is there, it's called No More Grace on the Master's Voice blog. He said he would have no more grace. He said that America was going to get exactly what she deserves. And what is that? America, we are going to see a progressive slide from Mr. Biden to Ms. Harris to whatever else will come. And at the end of the road, there will be only one choice. So it's like having a multiple choice question, but all the questions, all the choices are going to go away, and we're going to be left with only one choice. And that will be the man who promised this nation change, did not deliver. He didn't tell us that he was planning to come and complete the change in a final time. And what changes will there be? So in 2016, the Lord revealed in the prayer call, not celestial, but the Lord revealed what he had told me in private, that yes, people have pleaded for mercy, and I showed them the mercy. But what America saw is they saw the coming of King Cyrus from the Bible. They saw the coming of 10,000 different Bible characters. And all I have to tell you is God says that he actually gave you Saul. He gave you a blunt instrument because he said that matched your hearts. The blunt instrument that came into the White House in 2016 matched the heart of America. Israel didn't want God as their king. They wanted a king of show and ceremony who would make strong words and a strong show of strength. And so they got Saul, a blunt instrument who was only interested in pleasing the people. In 2016, that is what the Lord said. They got someone who is exactly like them. And this is why the Lord has come now, years later, to say, you got your blunt instrument. And what did you do with it? What Israel always did, mounted up a statue, an idol to worship. In the prophecy Ezekiel 13, let me work with my notes here. In the prophecy Ezekiel 13, the Lord said that he was so angry with America. And that's because America lifts up the name of Donald Trump until it smokes into the heavens like black smoke. God says that black smoke angered him and irritated him because it is like the burnings that people make for their idol. He said he was very angry with it, and he was going to harshly judge all the false prophets who were leading the people on into telling them that Trump is the savior they need. Remember, this is years back, and it's all documented. So to those of you who always flip your lid when you come here and you think, it's just actually a sign of how deeply embedded this lie is in you. Because whenever you poke a sacred cow, whenever you poke a person's idol, they'll always flip out, and that's how you can see, man, that demon is in there deep. And there's some people who have a civil approach to their idolatry. Well, no, we're not making an idol. We were just happy to have someone who didn't steal and didn't lie. How many court cases does your idol need to fight off? I'm going to speak everything that God has been laying on my heart today. God says that you in America cannot stop worshiping idols. And he said that America cannot resist a golden boy. And here into this prophecy comes America's golden son now resting and waiting for his judgment, Mr. John F. Kennedy. The age of Camelot, another god that stood on the American landscape. until he lost his life, and how the nation crumbled and collapsed mentally and emotionally. Why? Because America, you are much older than me, and yet you don't seem to understand how it works with conspirators, co-conspirators, planning and plotting. You actually think that the words on the cover page are what is taking place in the book. That's why Netflix makes so much money off of us, because Netflix, it takes Netflix to come and constantly make documentaries about the truth, and then people who are older than me go, oh, that's what happened. If Netflix doesn't come and expose the conspiracies for cash, some people in this nation could go to their grave thinking, what a tragedy that the shooter on the grassy knoll. This is a prophecy on the blog already. I speak nothing of myself. This is the Lord's revelations. It's called Redacted Information Revealed. And God named, I think, Lyndon Johnson and George Bush Sr. as the conspirators at the top of the list in why the golden age of Camelot came to an end. And what God says is that, America, you are constantly willing to overlook a little bit of sin on your idol just to keep the party going. So it doesn't matter how much information will come to rock the pedestal of the idol. You just be like, idol, we'll prop you right up. It's just smear campaigns. Mr. Kennedy, a golden boy, a true statesman, but a man of unfaithfulness. But America will overlook that blue dress because she just loves a winning smile. Mr. Kennedy's brother killed someone, and there exists footage on the internet today of them asking Americans at that time, are you still going to vote for Ted? And they're like, well, he's a good boy, and I don't think he meant it. This is the nation. And then when the Lord brings prophecy and says, you are complicit, then people come and they shake their tiny fists and they say, I've been watching you, but God will expose you and your lies. And I'm thinking, all right, he surely will expose lies from somewhere, but won't it be a shock where the lies will come from? The Lord says that this man is working for the government. Controlled opposition. Controlled opposition is where you're both one side, but then in order to get the criminal to talk, someone needs to be the good cop. So you're both working at the police department, but one of you is going to split off like a personality, and you're going to be the cop that comes in and says, man, you've been in here a long time. You know what? We're just trying to get to the bottom of this. Can I get you coffee, anything, cigarettes? That's the cop who comes in and gets you to rest and put your guard down because the other guy is behind the glass hoping that they don't have to come in and threaten you and get you to clam up and say you need your lawyer and Miranda and all that. So the good cop will try to split the votes, split the party, split everything. And people older than myself are sitting in this country unaware that the wheels of civil war are churning, because as the Lord said in the prayer call, when your idol falls and he's under that special flag, he said an earthquake will hit the country. It will ripple. And I saw it and I said so in a long ago prophecy, that this man himself doesn't know that the game he's playing, where he thinks he's in with the boys, that the boys actually are run by the beast. And one thing the beast system is faithful to do, the beast system takes no prisoners. The beast system is that scary sky movie that will hire someone to do a dirty job, and then you go out and do the dirty job, and you come back, and you're like, I took care of it, boss. And then the beast system says, you did a great job. Pew. So we're sitting here, and the Lord has sent me to minister to adults who can't take the medicine. And you know why you can't take the medicine? You can't take the medicine because of this fundamental rule. When you are deceived, there is no way to come out of deception except through humility. See, deception is a pit. You're at the bottom and you have no options. You don't have a ladder. You don't have a rope. There's no way to come out of deception. The only way that you can come out of deception is to humble yourself and admit that you are deceived. The instant you hit your knees and repent of man worship, party worship, MAGA worship, whatever you're worshiping, and keep denying that you worship it because you think your reasons for following it are quite well thought out and you're being a reasonable American. The minute you hit your knees, you will find a bright light shining into that pit, and a golden staircase will come, and Jesus will say, come up out of the pit of your deception. When I brought these prophecies 2 years ago, there were the same reactions that's going to happen now. Some people admitted that they were deceived. They admitted that Joshua Johnson and all the flyaway birdies who were swearing, oh, they swore on various swearing posts that God had told them for sure he was coming back. Cyrus would not abandon the nation at the time the nation needed him. People repented. But there was another group of prophecy, another group of responses calling me very interesting names. And I've noticed how over the years, all of those comments have disappeared. Because reality was kicking in and people just went back and just delete. Like Carrie Ann Gidden, she'll give a false prophecy and then when it doesn't happen, she'll just delete the video. People go back and they wipe their tracks, but they don't understand that they don't wipe their hearts. And God will hold them accountable for it. He will hold you as a participant with your idol. Have you ever heard of the tar baby? This is going way left, but I know that it's the Lord leading me. The tar baby is something that you raise up in your pumpkin patch. So you're growing pumpkins and you don't want your pumpkins to be robbed. And so you build up this thing that looks like a scarecrow, but it's covered from top to bottom with sticky tar. And then whoever comes to steal and sees the tar baby standing there will be like, who are you? This is my pumpkin patch. And you slap it and you slap it and you kick it and you kick it. And in the morning, the farmer comes to find you stuck hands and feet to an idol. And then he takes care of thieves who enter the pumpkin patch. Just a moment as I fix the lighting, please. So what the Lord is saying is that it is extremely dangerous to have the sins of your idol accounted to you. The Lord says that this man is a dummy alternative for the people. A dummy alternative means that it's literally the thing you hang in front of a baby to keep the baby happy and kicking when you're running a little late and it's time to give the little one dinner and, excuse me, please. It's time to give the baby dinner, but you're running a little late and you know in a little while he's going to fuss. So you hang that thing over the crib because then it keeps him occupied and he's kicking his little legs and he's happy, and then it gives you time to catch up and do what you were supposed to do. The beast system is active in America. The Lord says the beast system is a go. All the military men know what that means. They all know that they're given assignments and they go over the assignments, and even if they drop them on that beach, an assignment has to be a go in the military before you can do it. So they need that yes. And then they can do what they're supposed to do. So God is saying that the beast government is in effect. The beast government is a go. But this dummy alternative is being hung in front of the people to keep them occupied because the real preparations and arrangements are being made for this thing to come out. And I know the reason that many people don't have the proper, I wouldn't want to call it fear because we're supposed to have only fear of the Lord. But the reason that most people don't have a proper appreciation of the real danger that this one world final system poses is because they don't study the book of Revelation. People treat the book of Revelation almost as like an afterthought a lot of the times. They don't want to read it because the first thing that a thinking person picks up when they touch that book is, man, there's a lot of people dying in here. That is one thing that you cannot miss when you read Revelation, that you just see soul after soul after soul exiting this world. And it's not even one soul. It's mass souls The Lord said in a recent prayer call that I shared, my private prayer calls that I am sharing, he said that the horses will ride, white, red, black, and pale. He said each of them will take their due. And then he said they must, it is prophesied. So if you just go and look and think, well, what's their due? It says that the pale horse who rides with death as the rider and Hades as his accompaniment, Hades being hell, says they take a third of all living, a third of the people on this earth go to their ending simply by, it says, the beasts of the earth to kill with death. That word death has been changed. It's actually pestilence, which means that this Rona was just an opening shot across the bow. Things are coming that are going to eat people up bodily. Things are coming. Some disease made of fever is coming where I saw people as crisp as freshly baked pastry. When they died, the fever had cooked them until their skin was as flaky as pastry. They died looking 171 years old because of how the heat cooked them from within. God says that death will get their view. And where's America? Well, we need to get a red wave and a blue wave. That's the level many people are at. And God is saying, prepare for me, prepare for the times. And here is a nation asleep because of the dummy alternative being dangled in front of them. Let's move on. God says the beast government is already ruling in America. And once its claws and its regulation come out in full, people will find themselves taken as with a snare in an instant. All the hunters know. I've never been out there because there's bugs and stuff. But the hunters know that when they lay their traps, they lay something. I've seen it in the movies. They lay something and then they cover it with leaves and branches and everything. And then something will come in there. And the minute it steps in there, it triggers something else on the third tree. And then it goes, and all of a sudden, it's a bag. It's a big net bag, and your prey is hanging in there. That's what it means to be snared in an instant. It means last week you woke up and everything was new, and then this week you woke up and there were 7 emails on your phone, and then you couldn't believe the emails, and then you put the TV on and there were 73 new announcements at the same time. The Lord says people will be taken in an instant when the claws are sharp implements that your cat has meant to cause pain to your couch and a chipmunk in equal measure. That's what claws are. Claws are how predators like lions and leopards end all arguments. They end it with claws and teeth. So the Lord says this is a beast that has claws. And then he says it also has regulations. So there are many people, they could barely survive 2020. The mandates came out and they were like, and then you still went in your house and sat there because it doesn't matter whether you were an American or not, whether you're an Australian or not, whether you're Kenyan or not. You went to your house and you sat there because they told you to sit there, and sit there you did. That's what it means when regulations come out in full. God says it will be a net that takes people by surprise. He says people will end up as prey for the beast. And that's because in the good years when they should have been storing up wisdom, knowledge, and understanding by which a man could protect him and his family, God says that people were using the good years to follow after their idols and to heap up idols for themselves. Their own lust allowed them to be heavily deceived, and they were lulled. And they have been put to sleep. And the Lord says that if you have allowed yourself in these political games that have kept CNN and C-SPAN and I don't know, all the seas, he says that if you have allowed yourself to be heavily deceived and lulled, put to sleep at this crucial time, God says you will keep sleeping until you can be put to sleep permanently. On this channel, I will not hold back any of the Lord's words. I will keep them in print. I will put them in print. Just like he said to Ezekiel, you shall speak to them all my words. And it matters not if they hear you or don't hear you, because they are a rebellious house. Every single syllable, I will speak it in these videos. I will write it on the blog. It will sit there as an indictment. Those who have ears to hear, they will hear. Those who just like, well, not my God. That's the thing. You see, you say things, people out there, and you don't understand what your own words mean. Whenever someone tells me, well, my Jesus, I just know that your Jesus is like a Raggedy Ann doll that you sewed together from your expectations, what you thought when you read the scripture, which wasn't accurate, what you want to happen, and your fervent, desperate hope mixed with a little bit of truth. That's who your Jesus is. Your Jesus is an amalgam of your own confused heart. So how can he not be a puppet who bows and does in your mind everything that you think he will do? He's your Jesus. He's the one you made up. The one in this book is a very different person from your Jesus. God says that Donald Trump is complicit in the fall of America, but at the proper time, he will pay the price for it. And here's what I said earlier. The Lord says the beast is merciless. The beast takes no prisoners. That means that the beast can give you an assignment in this present dispensation, and you carry it out as the hope of the people, the great hope, and you lead these people into idolatry. Why? Because they're so busy following you, they don't have any time to even ask Jesus one day of their lives. Who is this? And then even when they go and ask, they're asking their Jesus. So, of course, he's going to tell them, he's the guy I sent to save you and make America great again. That's what your Jesus will say. Real Jesus says that the beast is merciless and takes no prisoners, and the beast wipes up all its loose ends. This man is as much a part of the current government as the people you visibly see on the other side. He thinks he is in the loop as to how things will go, but the ending will be quite different from what he imagines. Now, before I put this video on, the Lord says that Donald Trump will be judged by him. He says that he will judge him for deception. He will judge him for his own sins. He will judge this man for pride, and he will judge this man for being an idol. So people of the nation of America, as all the foreigners are watching you and I on this channel, why is it that when God says something, you need to say something? When I occasionally have time, I ask people this, but apparently nobody's ever gotten back to me with a good answer. Why is it that when God will say, America's guilty of this, someone will say, well, the Arabs were doing it long before. Actually, let me let you know how the Arabs started this practice before America. Why is it that when God says, most guilty of all the nations, then people come and say, there's good people here. Who are the good people when Jesus said there is none good except God? How are you reading your Bible? Sideways, upside down? How is it? Why is it that when the Lord will speak, and that the words of his mouth through me are nothing new, because he sent people generation after generation to tell America the same thing, turn from your sins or I will burn you to a cinder? Why is it that because I have come, the faces are so hard? Oh, discerners who are so discerning. I will give a synopsis of this dream. This is a horrible dream, and there's no need going into it in depth. Oh, here is another thing. The Lord says he will also judge Donald Trump because America continues to parade him as a savior and then deny that they do so. So to break down this statement, it's basically do something, then God says you do it, and then you say you didn't do it, which means that the end of the statement is that God is the liar. God says that America denies responsibility for her idolatry. She idolizes the flag. She idolizes her military. She idolizes her institutions. This means the school system, the entertainment system, all the systems. America says we're the best. So you idolize that. And God says that the nation itself is an idol. And let me go to something briefly here in the book of Matthew 11. I bookmarked that. Matthew 11 and 21. Oh, no. Yes. Here it is. I was looking at verse 12. Jesus speaking, and he says, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in